This episode of Rob as a Podcast is made possible by the patrons of RHAP. To find out more about the advantages and game-changing twists of becoming a patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron or click on the banner at the top of robhasawebsite.com.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down. They've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Think Tank number 3, Stephen Fishback.
The Trace. Oh, my God, Rob. I'm so excited to be here. I can't believe we're doing a third one of these. You know, I went back and over the past couple of days, I re-listened to the previous two Think Tanks. I think Think Tank number 1 was the first time we did a video chat, even though we actually were in person. It was the first time I was on a video chat.
Ever?
Well, at least with, in the
with
podcast.
Your clothes on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Well, here we are. First off, let me also introduce you to the man to my left, your right, the person who is going to be helping us with our list of 362 submissions that we got since we announced that we were doing Survivor Think Tank number 3. Please give it up for old reliable Alex Kidwell.
Woo. I actually had all these nice things I was going to say about Alex, and that was when I didn't know he was going to be on the podcast. So now that he's right here, it's a little bit weird to say them.
But, I mean, by all means, feel free to.
No, it's good. We're good.
Okay.
We're
fine. All right. It's the roast of Alex Kidwell and Survivor Think Tank number 3. And so what we are about to do, if you haven't heard any of these podcasts before, Stephen Fishback and I have gotten submissions from the listeners of the podcast, 362 in total. Alex has gone through the list and vetted them to be the most interesting ideas for Stephen and I to talk about. This time around, I'm coming in blind and whatever other, I have not seen these, whatever is the best way to describe that. And Stephen has not seen the list either. And tonight we are going to be talking about what ideas we should put through Stephen to be a part of Survivor in the future.
Now, to get into a little bit of Think Tank history, the first Think Tank was right after season 24, and it was basically a low point in Survivor history. It was right before these incredible seasons, 25, 26, 27, 28, and on. And it's funny listening back to the first Think Tank, you can really tell that, we're not happy with the direction of the show, and the fans as a whole are not happy with the direction of the show. Then we do this Think Tank, and the show has an incredible revival, entirely thanks to us. And then, at the end of season 28, which was, certainly one of the great watermarks of the series, we do another Think Tank. And from after Think Tank 2, many of the ideas that we had in Think Tank 2 were included in the show itself.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm not sure how much that Stephen has his tongue planted in cheek when he's talking about this, but we have talked about a lot of things during the Survivor Think Tank. Many of those things have been used in Survivor, even in Australian Survivor. I just don't know necessarily if it's a thing happens on Survivor Think Tank, then Survivor decides to use it. Some things could be a coincidence, Stephen.
I do think it's possible that some things are a coincidence, but it's also possible that, we know the producers listen to this show. And so I think, some of the things that are suggested here, if we get a really great idea, there is a real shot that it could become part of the show.
Absolutely.
I wrote them down. I wrote them down. Okay. May I?
Yeah. And let me just add that I just don't want to get into some sort of adversarial relationship with the producers where they're saying, hey, let's not use this because those guys think they're so smart. They're going to take credit for it. I don't want to hear Stephen Fishback crowing about how this was his idea on Twitter. Let's not use this good idea.
Okay, so
we want them to use these ideas. We're not going to take the victory lap if a thing gets used.
But we are, you know, invested in the show's success. We love this show. You know, we want it to be as good as it possibly can. And realistically, you know, what I just said about Think Tank One having any impact on the show getting great is obviously false. You know, Think Tank One was a great trial balloon for the Think Tank idea.
Yeah. But in fairness, I think that Philippines was already in the can and and Survivor Caramoan may have already been filming at the time we did the first Survivor Think Tank.
And, you know, I think that there was a dramatic change in the way that the production team was started approaching Survivor. I think casting has really been, you know, incredible in the last couple of seasons. We're not actually taking like credit for, you know, any success of the show. But you know, I was corresponding with John Kurhofer, who actually listened to the last Think Tank, and he was like, what's cool is that, you know, you've got your bunch of guys brainstorming, we got our bunch of guys brainstorming, and you know, we're all in it together. We're all trying to come up with like fun ideas for this show.
Yes. So Steven, what did you come up with? What are things that we've talked about before that we have been prophetic about that have then gone on to make it onto Survivor?
All right, one of the big ones, super powered idol in two parts. Last Think Tank, we talked about having a super idol where if each person had an individual part and then the two parts came together, they became the Tyler Perry idol, which we saw in Korong. You came up with the idea for Survivor Class Warfare, which ended up sort of being, you know, white collar, blue collar, no collar. A non-elimination tribal council we came up with, which was a great part of Survivor Australia.
Yeah.
The swap.
We actually saved Australian Survivor Nick with that move.
yeah. So you're welcome,
our
Nick.
Good friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sester Ninas.
Yes.
Saved by Sester Nino. and a swap from two tribes to three tribes was also your idea, Rob.
Yeah. Alex, you also had a list of some things. What are some other things that were mentioned in previous think tanks that went on to be part of the show?
Yeah. You know, and surprisingly, there was even some in Think Tank One. You know, you guys mentioned like an advantage that's hidden at the auction, which is something they really hadn't done at that point. You know, there had been some hidden items, but they were always food. So that was something you pitched in Think Tank One.
Is that true? They hadn't had hidden advantages at that point in the show?
I don't think you guys would have been talking about it, so I have to assume.
That's fair. Yeah.
You guys also touched on tribe osmosis in that show, which, you know, going from two to three back to two. And of course, Steven, you are very aware that in fact happens.
That's right. Yeah, it ended up affecting me greatly.
You really should have done better in that season that you were on.
I would have done much worse had that not happened.
That's true.
Think Tank One podcast also had the pitch from Dalton Ross about hiding idols at the challenges, which, again, Steven, you were a guinea pig for this.
Yeah, if only I had been a you know,
we told you successful. About it at the Think Tank. Yeah.
And then lastly, and maybe most surprisingly to me, you guys had Troy Zan on that podcast. And Troy Zan was talking about, you know, I want Survivor to be harder. And, you know, he's going on about how it should be a more difficult game. And inadvertently, Troy Zan pitches the Night Zero twist that everyone is out there on their own. So,
wow.
Game changer indeed.
Troy Zan really changed the
game changer.
Yeah. Even then. Okay.
So there's also some great twists that that haven't been implemented, and then I kept the list, but we don't have to get into them now. Maybe at the end we can run through some fun things from the previous think tanks.
Yeah, and once again, we'll post links to those first two Survivor think tanks. Those are available in the archives of the website. Also, I had re-released Survivor Think Tank 2 in the podcast feed, so that should be pretty easy to find.
It's a good one.
Yes.
You don't bother with Think Tank 1. Think Tank 2 is good.
Think Tank 1 is fine. All right. So, of course, Steven Fishback and I are just coming off of our watch, and I was going to say rewatch, our first time watching the Genius Rules of the Game season 1. So we are ready to weigh in on all sorts of things from beyond even Survivor, Steven.
Yes. We can weigh in on any strategic thing.
Yeah. And if you want to find out about more of our Genius season 1 audiobook, you can go to geniuskia.com for that. But Steven, with that, are you ready to make Survivor even greater again? Because we've done it before. Okay. We're not saying that Survivor isn't great now. We're saying that we're ready to make it great. Once again, because we keep making it great.
Continue improving it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're continuing to improve an already great thing.
MSGA OA.
We'll get you the hat. All right. Yeah. So Alex, Steven, anything else before we get into our first idea?
I actually do want to say something else before we get into our first idea. Yeah. I think this is a really interesting time in Survivor history because the way that they're so open to new ideas right now. You know, I think in the past few seasons, we've seen these new types of, you know, back before Think Tank One, it was like big theme twists for the entire season. But what's been really exciting about Survivor for the past couple seasons is all these different little things that they're kind of like layering into the game. And every season it's changed. You know, you have Will's secret food reward. You had my vote steal. You know, you had the extra vote. You had Michelle's vote removal. You had Adam's reward steal. You had Ken's legacy advantage. There's so many little things. And what's exciting about right now is that, you know, truly right now, the players going into the game do not know what is going to be out there.
Yeah, so that's why this is so much fun to do. We were going to wait until the summer, but we know Survivor 35 is going to film this spring. Survivor 36 is going to film this summer. So we figured that let's get your ideas out there. Let's get them into the ether, and then let's see what happens. And now, Alex Kidwell, with great power comes great responsibility. You have gone through this list of 362 ideas to pick out all the ideas that you see here. Even if Steven and I say that, no, this is a terrible idea, do not send this idea through, you know, it still could end up on the show, that somebody, you know, one of the powers that be could hear it like, you know what? Robin Steven said, don't put it through, but I like it. So this is a lot of power in your hands.
Yeah, I am aware, and I hope I can handle the responsibility.
Yes,
I will say that, you know, in light of kind of the time that we're at, I know that the tradition has always been to say you're going to Samoa if we green light an idea, but I propose the possibility that we say this time you're going to be a game changer.
You're going to be a game changer. No,
they're changing the game.
We cannot change the format. All right. We're not sending things through to season 34. We are only sending things through to future things. I guess this thing could be a game changer, but I think people really are like, they like the, you're going to Samoa and the
our brand, you know, it's like you're fired.
Yes. Or you're terminated.
You're terminated. Yeah.
That's what the choppa.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm off to a terrible start.
And the antithesis of that, of course, of you're going to Samoa.
No, you have to be free to fail, Alex.
Is Noah. Yes.
You did. But you were free to fail.
We're just brainstorming here. No bad ideas. Okay. All right.
No, it's not. No, that was a bad idea.
Okay. All right. So, Alex Kidwell, where do you want to start?
So, this time with so many ideas, we went ahead and kind of broke it down by type of ideas. So, we've kind of, you know, got three subcategories at this
point. Three subcategories. Okay. So, what are the three subcategories we're going to be talking about tonight?
So, first, we're going to get into theme ideas.
Okay.
These are going to be ideas that kind of encompass a season, that a season needs to be based around.
Yeah. Theme ideas. Twists.
It's like game changers, second chance. Oh,
yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Theme ideas, twists, and advantages. Those are the three different things. And I know people are going to say, well, isn't a twist an advantage? Advantages are specific things that idols or other objects can do, whereas twists might be, a tribe swap or something happens after you get voted out and then you get to come back in or something like that. A wrinkle in time. Okay, so we're starting off talking.
I like that. I love that book.
Theme ideas, Stephen. Yeah.
Okay. So this, we're going big into small, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Start macro. All right. So here's a theme idea. We'll kick it off with Ariel G.
Okay.
There's always a lot of talk on the podcast about whether certain players were recruited or are actual fans. Typically, the consensus is that recruits don't have great gameplay because they don't know the show, but they also don't come in with preconceived ideas about how it's best to play, which can be constraining. You guys always talk about how super duper fans can have a very well laid out strategy going in the game, but may end up being overzealous, which can get them voted out sooner rather than later. So how about this season? Three tribes split by level of fandom. Recruits/Mactors versus casual fans versus super duper fans to finally settle once and for all what level of fandom is best suited to win Survivor.
Steven.
It's not a strongest start to the podcast that I've ever could have imagined.
Is it better than Survivor John Smith, how we started Survivor Season 2?
No, but I was actually thinking Jill Smith might really be an interesting twist on. Here's the problem with that. I don't think the average viewer, and I think, you know, our benchmark in the past has always been like, is this something that really will work for the whole of the show, for the normal viewers of the show? Is this something that's actually going to be a great thing that not just our kind of like small niche will love, but that the sort of broader audience will like? And I don't know if the bigger audience is going to love this whole, you know, they don't care how much of a fan someone was. I think it's like great when you have a real big fan like Cochran or Adam, you have like one person who's like, that guy's such a fan, isn't this fun? But I don't think dividing them up by level of fandom. And, it's such a fine super fan versus super duper fan. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. It's almost like let's take Survivor fans versus favorites, especially like the second time around that we did fans versus favorites, where the tribe of fans was basically a tribe of Mactors, with all due respect to the great Michael Snow and a couple of others of people that were there. So I will say that this is not a marketable idea. I will say
no pumpkin, no.
And I'm sorry, Ariel.
Yeah. I don't think, and also like, I think Survivor's done a great job recently of casting a lot of people who are really good fans. They're really getting all these great fans. That's what's been so exciting about the show, is you have tons of real fans of the show on the show now.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, I was a recruit. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, that's very brave of you to come out and finally admit it after all these years, Stephen. All right.
Really quickly though, I want to say we might poop all over your ideas, but it's awesome for you of you to submit them and put yourself out there and put the idea out there, and even as we ridicule it, it's in the spirit of fun.
Yes. Okay. Everybody knows that. All right. So I'm gonna say I'm sorry. This one is a Noah Ariel. I apologize. All right. We got a lot of ground to cover. Let's keep moving.
Keep moving. All right. Chris McKay, Survivor: Ghosts of Tribal Past.
Ooh.
Post jury phase. When you're voted out, you continue to live on the island with the remaining castaways. Maybe you get your own shelter and food so you aren't totally miserable while also being out of the game. I especially like that part. Eating in front of the people who are still having to play, I think, makes for some good TV, personally.
I don't know. Yeah. Interesting.
What do you call this one?
This is Survivor: Ghosts of Tribal Past.
Sounds spooky. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Steven, what do you think of this?
You go. Your turn to go first.
Well, I think that there is some fun to a person who gets voted out then still being around. But I think that it's going to be particularly problematic where we are going to get to a point in the season where we're going to be down to our final three and have 15 or 17 ghosts who are hungry for camera time, monopolizing the action of what's going on. I think for every moment you get of somebody blowing something up, you're going to have all these other people in the shot, people who are out of the game, like going and like eavesdropping on conversations and reporting things back. It's just a logistics nightmare. Let me pitch something. Steven, could we do anything with the person who was most recently voted out, return, like living at the camp or something like that?
I just think once someone has been voted out of the game, they have no stakes and all they want is revenge and they want to mess things up. I think there's so much, there's no reason to do it. I mean, I think, one of the problems with Redemption Island was it really took away the finality of you're voted out, you're gone. And I think, that was one of the real most compelling parts of the show is that, Your torch is snuffed. We don't see you again until you're on that bench, And I think that I don't know if this really, I don't know what this adds. What does this add?
I think you might get some drama. There's a moment in Big Brother 12 where Rachel has been voted out and she comes back into the house and creates a bunch of chaos and she gets into a big fight with Reagan. That's good, but I don't know if you're going to get that so many times a season. So I'm going to say for me, this is a Noah.
Aren't you just going to get like the person yelling at the person who betrayed them? Maybe that's good.
That's a deal.
I guess that's like, it's like a candy though. It's like a really unhealthy candy where you eat it because it's like so sweet and delicious, but then you feel sick afterwards.
Yeah. So
it's not like nutrition for the show.
Steven, are you out?
I'm out.
No.
Sorry. Okay.
What was that? Which one is that?
That's Ty.
Oh, okay.
Another game changer.
Yes, of course. All right, let's keep going.
All right, keep it moving. Here we go. This is from Dominic. This will be called Survivor Rules of Engagement.
Ooh, well, too bad that's not on CBS anymore. That could be a good tie-in.
Yeah. You've got 9 dating couples entering the game in a back-to-basics style season. Okay. The only way to be granted immunity is at Tribal to let Jeff marry you.
Wait, what?
That's disgusting.
Okay.
Steven, what do you think of this? 9 dating couples playing in a blood versus water style season.
And the only way to be granted immunity is to have Jeff marry you?
Yes, you take the next step in your relationship.
This is really off to a slow start.
We're building to something.
Okay, all right. Well,
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Moving on. This is from Gregory McBean. I have a suggestion for a tribe breakdown for future season. This season will be all newbies except three returning players, one on each tribe. The tribe wearing purple will be led by Pascal, who was purple rocked out in Survivor Marquesas. The tribe wearing white will be led by Katie Collins, who was white rocked out in Survivor Blood vs. Water. The tribe wearing black will be led by Jessica Lewis, who was black rocked out in Survivor Millennials vs. Gen X.
Okay. Well, I don't think we can do a tribe wearing white. I think it's going to get very dirty.
But there is there's an idea there, right? This is our first. I mean, this is it's like the medevacs, like Survivor, the people who were rocked out. I mean, it's just unfortunate that they're all kind of less compelling characters. Like, I don't think Katie Collins is ever coming back.
How dare you?
Yeah. I think it's a fun idea if you had three players who were like bigger personalities. I think with those three, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah, I think what we liked about Philippines was we got a chance to bring in some people that we thought at the time good people to bring back that were sort of not the people that had been in the regular casting loop. And so that was particularly fun at that time. But yeah, if it was a better group, I think it's an interesting group of three. But I think that that's not necessarily the type of thing that's going to get any of the powers that be's pulse racing of Jessica, Pascal, and Katie Collins.
Well, can I pitch an idea? Can I pitch a sort of riff on that? And it's sort of, typically I've always been opposed to returning player seasons. I actually think Philippines was one of the very rare seasons that I actually liked the returning players because they brought back these tremendously flawed, bad players. I was talking to Wiggler a couple of weeks ago, and he was, trying to sell me on the idea of a new fans versus favorites. And I've always not liked that concept because
that'll be season 36, 16, 26, 36.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it always has seemed like half the field is dead out of the gate. The favorites always run roughshod over the fans. The fans don't really have a shot. Wiggler's argument was, Survivor casting is doing such an amazing job these days. They're getting real fans of the show. These people really have a shot to compete with the returning players. I still don't think that's the case. I actually think real fans of the show are going to be at as big a disadvantage. Mm. What about because they're fans, like they're playing against the people that they're fans of, what about though a three tribe season where just one of the tribes is fans?
Hmm. So what are the other two tribes?
So just one of the tribes is favorites. Okay. Just one of the tribes is favorites. And then the other two are fans.
Well, two different things that we're talking about here. So the Josh Wiggler has snuck in here with the idea of super duper fans versus favorites. And I have to say, Stephen, I actually really do like this idea of super duper fans versus favorites of like, it's basically, first time around, you're Zeke, Adam, David, pick other people that are sort of like, like a Hannah, a Jessica. You still think that they're still lambs to the slaughter, even if the people that we're bringing back could be potentially flawed players?
I mean, I'm more open to it than I was. I mean, but the fear is that it could go the other way. Random actor doesn't care, that they're playing against their idol Rupert. But, if you bring in Zeke and he's like geeking out that he's playing against Rupert, like he's not going to, he's going to want to, that's going to create an unfair advantage.
Okay. So I'm even in on the two team version of this, the one team version of this, but what is the tribe breakdown? Is it just two tribes that are both really compelling fans and then one tribe of favorites?
That's why I'm bringing it to the think tank. I just come in with the raw material that the think tank is supposed to sculpt it into a fully fledged thing. I don't know. You could have like men and women. You could have like, favorites versus, I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I think you need to nail down what the third tribe is. I mean, I've always talked about the idea of could the one tribe of six be like pseudo celebrities?
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like favorite. Oh, I think that would be really good though, because then you've got that kind of that element too.
Yeah.
It's like the Lisa Welchels and Cliff Robinsons
Jeff Kent,
of the world.
Right. Could you find six people in a season to do that?
Yeah. Like the Maris.
Yes.
Love that.
And then, you know, that the fans are starstruck by the survivors, but maybe they're more starstruck by the celebrities. Who knows?
Right. And then the celebrities are banning. Like, they don't think these survivors are like real celebrities. They're the celebrities here.
Right. So maybe there's some rivalry and they're going to want to like, they'll be jealous of the celebrities of, you know, yeah. Like when Tony didn't want Cliff Robinson around because, you know, he's got a lot of people that follow him. So, it'd be interesting that, so what do you want to do with these two different things that we're talking about?
Let's send them both to Samoa.
Okay. You're both going to Samoa.
Woo.
Yes.
Oh, is anyone taking notes? Alex, is someone, should I take notes?
No, Alex has got it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's Survivor, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I really feel like we should, I don't know if we ever have, we always say we're going to send these ideas through. I don't know if we ever actually do, but we really should this time.
By the way, CBS is going to love fans versus favorites versus celebrities.
Yeah. I really think you could get a solid. Are you being serious?
Because I don't know. Believe me, yeah. they're gonna flip for that one. They're gonna say, well,
I think you're gonna get a solid six celebrities.
You can get six celebrities that aren't gonna be terrible. Six people
yeah,
that want to play.
You could. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's next, Alex?
Moving right along. This is from Anthony S., and it is titled Survivor Zero to Hero. A returnee season made up of people who got zero votes in the final tribal council. In recent years, Survivor's produced a number of zero vote losing finalists, many of whom played solid games. It'd be a great story since someone's going to win and someone's going to get no votes again. But most importantly, it's a convenient excuse to bring the fish back.
Okay.
Oh, well, I'm on board. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you hated them all, so I'm placating you now.
Zero to hero. So the zero vote finalists. I mean, okay. So let's just throw Steven in there. But who else who else
Spencer,
has zero votes?
Tasha,
well, I'm glad
Sugar,
you asked because I've got a ready-made list right here.
Okay.
Ken, Hannah, Ty, Spencer, Tasha, Gen X Jerv, Sherry, Dawn, Chelsea, Albert, Natalie Tenorelli, Sash, Russell Hans.
Finally.
Mick, Steven, Cassandra, Dreams, and Becky. That's an 18-person
finally,
season.
Finally, Becky and Mick. we've all been waiting. How many people is that?
18.
Is that really 18?
Yeah.
How many, what's the gender breakdown?
9 and 9.
9 and 9.
Serious?
Really?
I think so.
Wow. So
that seems like it's destiny. And while I intended to never play again, I would go back for a zero to hero season.
Yeah. I think it's so niche. Like are you getting one extra viewer with that idea? Like in a marketing meeting?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's, you know.
It might be a fun idea.
You're just salty that you didn't make it to the end.
No, I'm not.
We get it.
I'm
we
not.
Get it.
No, you know what? This is not a good idea for a season. This is a Noah for me.
There's enough good players in there. Come on. You don't want to see Tasha and Spencer and Hannah and Nat Tenorelli and Becky and Cassandra again.
And Sherry. Yeah. Yeah.
Dreams. You're bearing the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think it's interesting. I wonder if maybe in a three tribe version, you could do either like losing finalists or something like that. But just that zero vote finalists specifically. Like, why is this the metric? Like there's
because,
no
look,
people that
getting
got one
zero
vote.
Votes is very humbling. It is really humbling in a way that like one vote is not humbling.
Yeah.
Like you had no chance when you got zero votes. And people on Twitter remind you of that forever.
You could even talk me into this if it was people who got to the end and didn't win. That right. The people who like got, they lasted 39 days, but they didn't win in the final tribal council. And then you can add in, you know, Amanda Kimmels and stuff like that. And I think that you could potentially get a really compelling group there. Out of that, I mean, this is like if one person says no, you're done on Survivor Zero to Hero.
But there'll be more. Every season there's going to be, you know, there's probably already got like 2 0 vote finalists, you know, waiting for us. What was I going to say to you? What about like winners versus losers? Is that interesting at all? That's something that always like pops up on the message boards, like losing finalists versus winners.
If you got the right group, I think anything is fine. I mean, the thing with these season themes is it's just a way in the door to start off the action. So winners versus losers, I think that's fine. It's just another way to bring people back. It's just a tribe division.
Right, right. So, I think there's something motivating about it, right? There's, you try to find things that are going to like be meaningful to people, you know, like calling them, this is your second chance. Oh, you're a game changer. Oh, you're a villain. You're a hero. You know, like you try to find ways to not just that to organize people, but also to like spur them into action.
Right. I just don't know if there's,
you're a loser. You're a loser. Oh, it's Trump's America. Winners versus losers. Perfect.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting. It's okay. It's not something that gets me really excited. Yeah. You know, it could be, it all would depend on the casting.
All right. Okay. So right, next one. So Noah, this is a Noah.
I'd say it's not on my list of, you know, all-star ideas.
It's an alternate. It's waiting in the hotel.
It's fine. It's a fine idea. It's not a great idea.
All right. We'll keep it moving. This one might hit a little closer to home for Rob. Pitched by GameBot 604. Mm-hmm. Survivor, Proper. Verified versus unverified.
Oh, come on.
Two tribes of returnees split by whether they're verified on Twitter or not.
You take this one, Rob.
Yeah. Look, when Twitter doesn't exist anymore in 24 months,
exactly.
I don't know how well this one is going to play. So that's for
right.
me.
That's a no. That's a no. All right. Moving right along.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
All right. I really like this break. One. So yeah. I'm curious to see if you guys will like it too. This is from Luke Harshaw and it's called Survivor Paranoid Cops. It's a working title.
Okay.
The premise is all 20 people playing are actually cops, policemen, detectives, etc. However, upon arriving on the island, they are told they are split into two tribes, each comprised of half cops and half con men pretending to be cops.
This is like Survivor Mafia.
So nobody will be lying about their job, but everyone will assume that everyone is lying about their job. This could lead to cops pretending to be con men, pretending to be cops, or maybe some funny scenes of cops interrogating each other. We all know Survivor fans love paranoid cops, so why not? 39 days, 20 cops, no con men, one survivor.
Okay. All right.
It's a fun idea. I don't think it's a realistic idea. You know, it's not, they're not actually going to be able to cast 20 cops. And it would also be like a major blow to the sort of demographic breakdown of the show.
Yeah, a little too slapstick, I think, in terms of, you know, it'd be funny have a couple people who are, you know, have some, you know, a Tony and a Sarah are both cops, but then also have a couple people who are sort of ex-cons, you know, but a whole season of that is probably a little too much.
If Benny Hill ever did a parody of Survivor, though, this would be one for that.
All right.
All right.
All right. So in the season theme category, let's get some of the, let's really turn it up a notch. Let's
Understood.
give us some of the best season themes you've got.
All right. So I think this one's pretty tangible. And this is kind of along the lines of what you guys were already talking about. This is from Jared Mounts. Survivor Champions, a tribe of winners. They won once. Can they win again when competing against the best? A tribe of winners of any other reality show. They bested another show. How will they fare on Survivor? And one tribe of people who have won any other significant competition. It could be poker, Jeopardy, Olympics, etc. The world's full of competitions, and they've dedicated their lives to become the best.
I really like the idea. I don't necessarily love the idea of like winners of other reality shows, but I do like the idea of like winners of other like sporting events and competitions. I think that's fun.
Yeah. So could you have like a Big Brother winner on the other tribe? Like it doesn't need to be a tribe of people. So if it's a two tribe season,
totally. Yeah.
Survivor winners. Then we have like, Olympic gold medalists.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I mean, that would be fun. I mean, I don't think, you know, the challenge would be to get enough. I mean, they wouldn't just be Olympic gold medalists, right?
Can we get like Simone Biles?
I don't know who that is.
Well, you're missing out. She's fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's America's sweetheart, Steven.
Oh, shoot.
Yes. Who else? America's what other winners? What other winners could we get? Poker champion?
Yeah, Jason Somerville.
Poker champion? Sure. What else could we get? Who are other winners? Could we get like Oscar winners?
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, like an acting winner, like something totally. They really need an Oscar and an Academy Award winner. They should bring in Meryl Streep.
No, overrated. She is that way overrated. Don't get her. Who else? A World Series winner? Okay.
Yeah, I think there's something there. I actually don't really think there's something there, but you know, it's a fun idea to like have. I don't think like if that was the season, winners of Survivor versus random other winners, like would you tune in for that? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on who they got. If they got other marketable celebrities that would bring other people in, then I think it's a possibility. So I think that this has potential, but it's completely based on who they could get.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So I would say probably Noah on this one. It's not one of the things, like, if we were handing in a short list of ideas.
So the casting, that's what I think. That's the bar where, like, we're going to, like, Jeff Probst, we're going to take 5 seconds of your time. You only get one shot.
Right. Right. So if if we had like a pitch meeting of like, okay, Stephen, what are we bringing to the pitch meeting? This would not be on my list.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. Here's an idea from Danny from the Bay. A season of all people who got voted out right before Final Tribal, either third or fourth, since it's considered usually the best player of the season in a lot of fans' eyes.
Finally, Stephen. However, now we're talking.
Okay. He has an idea for a variation on the win condition that he says you can take or leave, which is that the twist is whoever finishes fourth is the actual winner.
Oh, come on.
Although, if you don't want to do this, a compromise would be for Sia to give the fourth place finisher 100K in a creepy way at the finale.
All right, Stephen. A lot of people have talked about this idea of sort of...
Just short, like the Kelly Wentworths of the world.
Right, or, close but no Johnny cigar. Fairplay. The
Who
final
else? Who are
juror?
The classic ones? You've got Fairplay, Ceri, you know, Kelly Wentworth. I can't really think of any other big one names that come to mind.
Cass.
Cass was a big one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a poster one. Right over here on the wall. Rudy, you can get him.
Way to be in the middle of that poster, dude.
Yeah. let's see. Terry Dietz could come back.
Actually, that's actually a pretty good group. I really like that idea. That's a fun group. It's like Just Shy.
You know, Lex is in that group.
Ian Rosenberg.
I love it.
Yeah. So the and I
that's mean, actually a fun group of people.
Yeah, it's a pretty good group when you go through and look at the
Isn't
list.
Is Reichenbach there too?
Eric Reichenbach? No, he's not the last person. Before
oh, he was
the,
fifth place. He was fifth place. Yeah. Who
was
fourth in that other one? Karamoan.
Eddie, I believe.
Eddie, finally getting Eddie back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally.
Holly Hoffman. Yeah.
So oh, the ho-ho.
Yeah, Jerry Mahaffey is actually in that group.
That's so, actually a pretty good group.
Yeah. It's a
Underwood.
Wentworth. Oh, no, I don't know if we said her before.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of people, David Wright, most notably, most recently.
Oh yeah.
So you have a lot of interesting people to bring in. Sydney from Survivor Co Wrong as well, who's another good
That's
all-star.
Another good one. That's a real thing.
Yeah. So you have
Would
a
you
lot
go back
of people.
For that?
Well, Stephen, let me look at my my podcasting schedule and get back to it. I think this is a strong idea for a season, and I'm not saying it because I would be eligible for it. Jan Gentry.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy Vavrick O'Brien also.
Does Kathy, is she still in the mix?
Oh, she'd play.
Days?
She'd play. She'd go.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she still have gas in the tank?
Oh, she's got gas in the tank, baby.
Okay. I'm in. I loved Kathy and both of her. I loved her in All Stars, even with all the weeping and recrimination.
Yeah. So, Stephen, do you like this version?
I do like this. I do like this. Is this
hey,
the one? Like,
Ozzy could come back.
If we were going to pitch a all-star idea, like the one big, like, what's our big all-star idea? Just Shy is not terrible.
Yes. I think Just Shy is not a great name for it.
Just you think Shy, Hush Hush is the name? Too Shy is the name.
Yes, Too Shy. Yeah, I'd say put it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we're not breaking new ground on this. I think a lot of people talked about this idea.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen it.
It's not a revolutionary idea.
Specifically, I think there's been people posting about it on Reddit even recently in the last couple of weeks or so. So I will say you're going to Samoa.
Too Shy.
All yeah. right. Okay. We got there.
All right.
Okay. Here's an idea from Drew Bingham. He calls it Upside Down or Reverse Survivor. So in the pre-merge, the tribe that wins...
I already know I'm not going to like this, by the way. So,
fair enough.
Keep going. Please keep going.
The tribe that wins immunity is the one that goes to tribal council. But instead of voting someone out, they vote someone in to the merge.
Yep.
Once 10 people have been voted into the merge, remaining players are all eliminated. Play then resumes like normal.
Hmm.
Oh, actually, there's something interesting there.
Big Brother did something kind of like this in Big Brother 13, where they got
teased.
I just think it
may be too gimmicky, but... And it's also too hard to, like, keep track of. And then once you're voted into the merge, do you stop playing? I guess you would stop playing, right? And then you'd be like hanging out, waiting for everybody else.
That's what happened to Big Brother.
I love Drew Bingham. I hate this idea. This is, Stephen, every episode would be like so uncompelling of like the tribal council, the whole final act of seeing somebody's torch go out.
Your dream is broken. Yeah.
Losing somebody in the game. It would be that final, that tribal council, that last 10 minutes is going to be like, okay, which one of you is going to move on to the next round of play? Okay, let's tell you the votes. Like, Timmy. All right, Timmy, you're going to move on to the next round. Everybody else, I'll see you back at camp. You know, it's like, there's only one compelling episode in the entire pre-merge when we find out which person isn't going to go to the merge.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really figured like the big theme things were going to be. I feel like the meat of this show is going to be the advantages and the twists. And I never thought the big themes.
Okay. You want to move on to talking about twists? What do you think?
I mean, unless there's a really great thing, Alex, you're keeping in your pocket.
I've got a couple ridiculously absurd ones.
Okay, let's save those for the end. Let's get into some meat. Steven's getting hungry.
All right. Twists or advantages? Where are we going?
What do you want,
Steven? Well, we're going to go bottom to top, right? So I really think advantages is we're going to be where the fun stuff is, but twists might be.
You've seen the list. Where's there better stuff?
Probably advantages.
Okay, let's do advantages.
Let's give the people something.
All right.
Advantages. So what I think is really cool, again, like I said earlier about advantages, is that the production's really shown a willingness to just like experiment and throw things against the wall here and like let one advantage just exist for one episode, one show, and then you'll never see it again. And I love that. I love that it's like, you know, I used to hate when I first heard about the Tyler Perry Idol. I hated the idea that there were going to be these twists that no one would know about. You wouldn't even know the rules for, and you're playing in the game. And now is it's fun. Now
you love
I think
it.
It's really
now you love it,
especially in essence. There's some from past think tanks that I really liked.
Okay, which ones?
Colin Stone has the idea for an advantage of the idol that does nothing. And I love this idea because, you know, so much of the premise of these advantages in this game is like, what can the player do with this? Like, what can they make other people think about it? And like, I actually think that the players have kind of dropped the ball in this way. You know, people are so fixated on like, and me too, you know, like I really dropped the ball on this because I was so fixated on like what this thing does that I never thought about like, what can I lie and say this thing does? I mean, Tony really is the best one to have done this, right? With his bag of tricks. But like the idol does that does nothing is perfect for that, where you're forcing the player to use it as a bluff.
Let me play devil's advocate, Steven. Does an idol that does nothing, and Steven, obviously you would know better than me with this coming through the season 31. So if we're playing and I present you with an idol that does nothing, and I tell you, okay, this is a triple vote idol. You get three votes with this idol. There's no note. You just have to take my word for it. Are you buying that at all if there's not a letter attached to it?
No, I guess not. I mean, I'm not, but someone else might. I mean, you know, if you had an actual idol, you could certainly like give it to someone and make them think it was a real immunity idol. That would be the real danger, right? Even like forget like the three votes, no parchment thing. You're just like, mm-hmm. Here's an idol. I'm willing to give this to you for whatever reason.
Yeah, I do think that you could probably trick people. It's almost like having a already made fake idol where we saw David make a really good fake idol. We've seen a lot of really strong fake idols in the past. This would be sort of one that was already made, but I don't think you're going to convince anybody that it does anything else than be a hidden immunity idol if there is not a letter attached with the rules of what it does.
Yeah, well,
I'm glad you mentioned that, Rob, because I have an idea here that is, you know, very much kind of along those lines.
Okay,
here's one from Jacob Rothschild. Fake idols are hidden at all camps by production, but they come with two notes. The first explains that this is a fake idol and it will do nothing if played. It will also inform the finder of a small secret marking like a skull or red dot that distinguishes all the real idols from the fake ones. The first note also explains that note two is a total lie. Of course, the second note is the standard congratulations on finding the hidden immunity idol deal. The finder has a lot of options with how they choose to use it.
Steven?
I don't like this. I think the parchment, you know, parchment is parchment. I think that, you know, I said in 31, you know, you don't believe, no, anything is true until it comes out of Jeff's mouth or it's on parchment. I don't think you should mess with that. There's got to be some arbiter of truth.
Sacred.
Fake parchment.
Yes.
Should we get rid of parchment, Stephen?
What do you mean get rid of it?
That we don't need it anymore, Stephen.
What? But then if you got an advantage, how would you know what it did?
Production tells you.
And then, there's no more tree mail.
This tree mail. I mean, you can still
what do you think? Tree mail's on parchment.
All right, fine. You could still have tree mail, but these notes where we're saying, okay, well, we know this isn't a real idol. We know this isn't a real advantage. We know that this only does this because there's a note that comes attached to it. So we're taking these bluffs away from people because of the lack of a note. And then if we didn't have these notes attached to it,
no, people are reusing their notes. You know, I think that's fine to reuse the note, which I think David did, right?
Mm-hmm.
He reused one of his notes. And so then you're like losing that. Why? I don't see the advantage. I don't see what you gain by getting rid of the parchment.
I have to say, I don't love this idea, but I'm definitely okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, it was a really good moment in this past season when Jay plays the fake idol. I feel like it's never a bad moment when somebody plays the fake idol.
Yeah.
So maybe just like have more tools around to do the fake idol.
Well,
David had glue. Where did he get glue? Survivor glue is my idea for a twist. everyone gets a glue, like a thing of Elmer's.
Okay.
At the start.
So Steven, you're out on this. Noah, officially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, while we're talking about making fake idols, Craig from Vancouver has an idea for an advantage you can maybe win. And that's a fake idol making kit. One that a player can find, which gives them all the tools to make a convincing fake idol.
A fake idol kit, Steven.
I like that. I like that as an advantage. I think that's a fun one. You know, I think it really incentivizes someone to do it because they got nothing else they can do with their kit. I think there's something fun about someone winning an advantage. And then you know, how do they play it? Right. And if they'd have to win it kind of privately, but I think that's fun.
I feel like the fake idol making kit is the same exact thing as the last thing we talked about. I mean, you might as well just give me a fake idol. Why do I have to now I got this reward or advantage, and then I have to go do an art project on top of it?
Well, what do we think overall? Let's take a step back here. What do we think overall about like the extra votes? Like we're the think tank. Let's like think tank about the extra votes. And the vote steals and everything.
Well,
like,
can I add something that's in this same milieu of the legacy advantage? That I think that the fundamental problem with the legacy advantage this season was that the players didn't know it existed.
Yes,
so
I agree.
The people that had this advantage, I think that the whole idea of I need to hold on to this thing until day 36, but Jessica never told anybody except for Ken. And then when she got voted out of the game, only Ken knew about it. So nobody was coming after Ken. I think that there needs to be some sort of a balance to it. Am I better off trying to give away this legacy advantage to somebody? It needs to be more of a hot potato of, do you have to weigh out? Do I want to keep this until day 36, but it's making me more of a target, but I could potentially win the game if I get to day 36 with it.
The problem is that it still increases the likelihood that of someone who it's irrelevant for having it, right? Especially if everyone knows who has it, then people are only going to be okay with the person who, you know, who they don't think can win having it, right? So it didn't matter that Ken had it because no one wanted to vote him out because like he wasn't a threat to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or people could use it vindictively. Actually, that I think could be fun.
Yeah.
Where people are using it vindictively. And we talked about an idea similar to that. I think it was like the black vote or something, or like the black necklace.
Yes.
Where
someone on leaving
would like cast a vote that played at the next tribal council. An idea I still actually really like, and maybe we should talk about under the twists. But that could work for something like that. The thing is like, if you only use the twist once, then no gamesmanship comes into it. You know, like they're like, oh, what's this weird thing? Oh, I guess I'll find out what this thing is. Oh, okay. That was what that was. But, you know, it's when a twist is repeated that like there's the time for strategy to develop around it. And I like a lot of these things. I just think they're not giving them enough room to breathe. Like you have the vote steal. You know, I used it once wrong. You know, in a couple more seasons, like if they had more vote steals, like people might figure out how to use it. Then you move on. Once like a standard of play is established, then you move on. But I think you've got to give like the game time to catch up.
How many vote steals should there be a season? Just one?
Yeah, just one. And like, I mean, I think it's really fun that every season there's something new and like some like crazy thing. Like, oh my God, what's this thing? But I also want to see these things breathe a little more.
Yeah.
Where do you come down? Would you rather just like one and done, or do you want to?
No,
like see
repeats? I'm really okay with it. I'm okay with adding and building upon what we have. But I just think it's really important for when things come into the game, the other players can know about them, because I think that every advantage should have sort of this other,
right,
you know, problem.
Danger.
Of
right.
do I want an advantage? I think that that should, yes, be sort of like, I think that's fun to watch people wrestle with their greed for winning the game and for more power and for the money versus the negative downside. I felt like that the legacy advantage was kind of a bust this season, just because
totally,
that there was, yeah, no, it turned out to be not super powerful. I'm sorry, Nick Iadanza. But I felt like it turned out to be not that powerful, and also was not a cause of any drama this season.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think you're right. I think part the big problem was that it was hidden. You know, what's exciting about something like an extra vote or a vote steal is it's actually like not that useful in the game. But even having it and people knowing about it creates such a target, and it creates drama, and it creates like a you know, chaos in the game. And I think that I agree with you that that's sort of what's exciting.
The reward steal turned out to be a bigger driver of the drama in this season because it got outed than a legacy advantage.
And that was, yeah, and that was such a random one. I mean, I you know, I think they got really lucky with that too, where it like ended up paying off in such an emotional way with Adam. Like, they can't ever use that again because it's never going to pay off as well.
Yeah. Okay. What other advantages?
All right. So this idea in variations was the one we got the most. This we got many, many different variations of. And, you know, obviously, I think it's a pretty good idea. This one in particular is from SHM 1984. It occurred to me production hid idols at the challenges during Second Chance. Why not take it to the next level and hide them on the set of Tribal Council? Just like any other season, idol clues can be found at camp and will lead players to the conclusion that idols could be at Tribal. They could be hidden under the seats, inside the urn, they could be in Jeff's pocket. The twist will make Tribals more lively and exciting as players have to worry about the vote and look around for an idol at the same time. What do you think?
I don't love this idea. I think that it's, you know, like Tribals, they're already so tense, you know, they're trying to tell so much story in such a little limited amount of time. It's like they got like 10 minutes of their time to tell all of, you know, for all of this to pay off. I don't, what do you think, Rob?
I think production wise, it's a nightmare. I think that in terms of the actual production of the show, that there is, you know, your camp life during the day at Survivor, really, for the most part, your time is your own. You want to go fishing, yeah, you want to go look for wood, you do whatever you want during the day. When you go to Tribal Council, you know, you are really, you know, told at what point to go in, you know, you have a seat that you're supposed to sit in, Jeff is in the middle of talking, you can't get up and walk around. I guess that in the way that the challenge idols were hidden, there might be a specific thing that is where, you know, at a moment where, you know exactly where it is. And it's like, do I reach across the, like the Tribal Council fire and go do it? But it might be happening at a, you know, a compelling point. As I talk about it, like if the person knew exactly where to go and what to do, but you had to ultimately do it in front of everybody, I think it might be more compelling. But I think it's just that they really don't want people horsing around during the Tribal Council.
Well, that's sort of what I was going to say. I mean, I agree that it's possible that it would lead to something compelling, but I think what makes a great Tribal Council is what we've been seeing in this last season, where people are playing up to the last second and the whispers and the like the last second deals, and this distracts from that by taking people's attention totally out of that. You know, actually, when we first talked about the challenge advantage, I think the way it was initially presented was people would know there were advantages at the challenge and they could either choose to look for them or choose to compete in the challenge. And to me, that's a fantastic idea. Rather than just like one person like sneaks it in the middle of the thing, you know, having this choice, because I think we all agree, like, you know, when players have to choose, that's when you get great drama of, you know, everyone knows there's an idol at the challenge. Are they going to win immunity for their team, which is going to keep everyone safe, or are they going to go off and scramble for themselves?
Yeah, I think that there is some potential here, but I think that just the logistics of it, you're worried about in the middle of Jeff talking, somebody standing up and trying to walk around the tribal council.
Oh, I'm not saying tribal council. I think we agree that tribal council is a bad idea.
So that I think that maybe the note is let's try the reward or at the challenges some more.
Yeah. What do you think of the one that I just pitched of like people, everyone knows there's idols at the challenge. They just don't know where they are.
Yeah. I think that's probably, that the idols were in your season were so specifically hidden. Yeah. I mean, if you knew that there were idols at the challenges, I mean, would you have possibly found any of the idols that were there? I mean, the thing that was interesting about those was that people knew exactly where they were and were able to sort of like do a surgical strike to go and grab them.
No, but that's what I was saying. That's like the fun of it is that because people don't know, they can either like totally abandon ship to look for the idol. I guess no one would actually do that.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think that going back to the last thing we were talking about with the legacy advantage, if in a season where everybody knew the idols were hidden at challenges, I think it makes it even more dangerous for a person, for Kelly Wentworth to go and try to grab an idol, for Jeremy to go and grab an idol, because everybody knows what they're doing. And I think it would, you know, incite a lot more paranoia in the group of like, hey, were you taking so long with the puzzle? Were you looking for an idol? Is that why you were doing bad at the puzzle? Like, no. I was just having problems with the puzzle. I dropped the piece on the floor. Like, because I've looked and I saw it looked like you were looking under the table. Did you get an idol at the challenge? So I think that again, where if everybody knows that there's something going on, that something could be amiss, I think it does create more friction in the group.
Yeah, that's another one where I feel like they like left it too soon. The idols at the challenges thing. And then like by next season and the next season, there's totally new things. The next one, it was, you know, co-idols and you needed the stick or whatever. And the next one, it was like idols on the beach. I love the idols on the challenges. I think they ditched it too soon.
Okay. But I do get the sense that we will see it again.
I hope so.
Okay. So I think we're both saying Noah to idols at tribal council.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now I've got a few different kinds of immunity idols to pitch you guys.
Okay.
This one is from Taylor Luke. We'll start out with the most straightforward one. The friendship idol can only be played on another player, but the recipient must be the one who plays it. So it's an idol you can only use on an ally.
Oh, I've liked that idea for a while. I think we talked about it I think I really enjoy that idea. Like something you have to use for someone else.
Okay. So why is that better, Steven, than the regular immunity idol? Why is that more interesting?
You can't use it selfishly.
Okay. So we like the idea of playing the idols on other people. And this is just to sort of reinforce. To me, it seems like a less powerful version of the idol. We're going from the golden power of veto to the silver power of veto.
And I think that's good, right? I think like the other thing that it does, though, is that there's such an inclination to hoard it, right? Like you've got this idol. It's my safety, mm-hmm. my pocket. I'm not giving that up unless I know for sure that I can use it for me. And I think that's why people just end up, you know, actually, and I think Think Tank 2, we talked about how this is a problem where people just hold on to the idol forever. And a lot of the times people who find the idols are the people who end up in the final tribals with the idols. You know, obviously the last couple seasons that's been different, but you know, historically it's really been the case. Where, you know, there's a big number of seasons where the idols didn't get played. This might encourage people to play it more because they don't have that sort of like get out of jail free element to it.
Yeah, actually, I do like that if we're saying that it's always good TV when somebody is playing the idol, this is really you have less incentive to sort of like hold the idol until the end and let me save it for a rainy day. Jeremy's playing an idol on you because he has two. If he has just one, he's probably less likely to do that in fairness to, you know, how close you guys are.
Yeah, you're so jealous.
Yes. Look, I wish there was another survivor that would play an idol on me, Steven. So, you know what? I like it. I'd say you're going to smoke.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
One thing we talked about, too, at one point was expiration dates on idols. Does that appeal to you at all, or is that too confusing?
I mean, it's fun to me that the idol, you have to play it in the next two tribal councils. But I wonder, like, if we add the expiration date, I'm okay with making it like the Tyler Perry idol.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, let's like, look, let's make it, you know, more radioactive. Like, it's going to go, yeah, it's going to go off sooner, but it's more powerful.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
What do you think of that?
I think that's bold. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I mean, it's certainly, yeah, I think that could be really fun, but it would have to be like, that would have to be like really like the next tribal council though.
Yeah. You don't think two is too many?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe two.
Okay. All right. So for a more powerful idol, I say, you know, let's play with how powerful things are, how soon they go away.
Radioactive idol. I like it.
Yeah. It's like the star in Super Mario Brothers where you get it for like you're invincible, but just for a little while, not for the whole game. Not a cheat code, not Game Genie.
What about, I think that's actually fun though, right? Because when people often scramble for the idol when they know they're going home and they often play it that tribal council, but there's something, so that's happening either way, but there's something fun about the idea is like, I got this, I got to either play it tonight or I got to like it create a situation where I would play it tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's fun. Okay. What else you got?
Okay, this one is also from Taylor Luke, and he calls it the split idol.
Split idol.
Can be played on two players, but it only cuts the votes they each receive in half. It changes the way vote splits work and has resulted in many fun blindsides in the home games that I run. Minority alliances need fewer votes to make a move.
Okay.
Interesting. So it's an advantage, basically, that splits, that like halves the vote against someone.
Okay. So just let's talk this through in a real life scenario. So, okay, Zeke is getting, let's keep the numbers even for the sake of this. So there's going to be 6 votes against Zeke. He plays his vote split idol, and that turns into now there's just 3 votes against Zeke. Do we round up on an odd number if it's 5 votes?
It's a good question. I would assume so.
Okay.
What does it mean that you can play it for 2 people?
Yeah, so I guess the idea is that like you can name 2 people and any votes they receive will be cut in half.
Okay. Oh, so if like, let's say me and Steven are we're in the minority in an alliance and everybody is voting against us. There's 10 people at the merge. So Steven and I have this split vote idol and then we can protect both of us.
I don't like it. It's too powerful because splitting the votes is often the
same
thing.
Well, hear us out. So let's just play this out. So in this scenario, okay. So then there is 4 votes on me, 4 votes on Steven. We play this. And now that turns into 2-2-2, but still we get voted out on the revote.
Yeah.
So it seems like there are very specific conditions where this would work. Say final 8, me and Steven are in the bottom 2. And then unless you redo the roundup thing, if you were screwed up, so in the roundup, if it was final 6 and 4 people were voting against the pair of me and Steven, we would be able to split that into, have a 2-1-1 advantage.
No, I would change my vote and vote for you.
We've got the split vote idol.
No, one of us is going home on the revote. You just said it.
Not when it's the final 6 and then we split the votes.
Oh, wait, then what happens?
Yeah, well, then we have 2 and they have 1-1.
Oh, yes.
But it's
okay.
Such
like
a specific condition for it to come into play. Maybe
otherwise it might be overpowered, right? Where it's like if you've got an alliance, you do it to protect someone. It's like we know they're voting for me or him. They've got 6 votes. We have 4. Play it on ourselves, and then we win. I don't know. I don't love it. It's too powerful.
Too powerful. Okay. All right. I think
as a rule, we like less powerful things, right? We want things to be less powerful.
Yes. So I will say this is probably too specific of a situation for it to work. I think we are saying Noah to the vote split idol.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Here's one's from Josh Hobbs. You guys may not like this, but I do. The bank robbery idol.
That's a great beginning.
Yeah, I know. Explodes a blue paint bomb in your face when you find it. It grants immunity, but now you have to play the rest of the game looking like a Smurf.
Papa Smurf?
I would say obvious Smurf.
Obvious Smurf. Okay.
I mean, there's something to the idea of like the idol branding you, right, but too gimmicky.
Too gimmicky.
Who doesn't love paint bombs?
I mean, is there any risk that we're going to hurt somebody like getting it in their eye or anything like that?
Come on, they're not really going to, like, is Survivor going to have the paint bomb idol? No, they're not. That's like a Big Brother twist.
Yes.
Steven hates it if it gets too Big Brother. I was willing to talk it through, but Steven is out on it.
I'm out. You can talk it through. Let me go tweet.
Yeah. Would it be interesting? What if you had an idol that made noise every so often? It's like the ringing cell phone idol. So you have a hidden immunity idol, but every so often, like once a day, it's going to make a noise.
Like the howling letter in Harry Potter.
You like this at all, Steven? Again, I'm fascinated by the idea of like, is this thing worth the aggravation to have it?
I just think it's so corny. Like, I don't want, like, it's like, you know, Medallion of Power.
It is pretty big brother. It is pretty big brother. Yeah.
The okay. Crying baby idol, like, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. This one's from Chris Brannigan. His idea is for a Sophie/Rafe's Choice idol. It must be played before the vote, and whoever the idol is played on has to leave tribal council immediately and does not get to vote. You can play it on anyone at tribal except the person who won immunity. Using last season as an example, if Jessica, instead of finding the legacy advantage, found this, and Zeke and Hannah are on the chopping block with a 5-5 tie between alliances, at this point she can A, not play the idol, and it plays out like it did on the show with drawing rocks, B, play it on herself, leave tribal and be safe, however now her alliance only has 4 votes and that pretty much screws Hannah, C, play it on Hannah,
play it on herself. Interesting. Wow.
Or
I like
D,
this a lot.
Playing it on the other alliance. Playing it on Zeke, for example, would send Zeke home and they would be down numbers.
Now
I like it.
Okay, so you get to, it's the go back to camp idol. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Steven, let's talk this through. This is
I think it's really fun. I think Alex did a great job of laying out all of the uses. You remove yourself, just like a normal immunity idol. Really great use. You remove an alliance just like a normal immunity idol, or you actually affect the votes kind of like an extra vote or a vote steal, but not quite as powerful as that. But it's interesting. I think people would have to. Yeah, that's a fun one.
OK, you like the name the Houdini idol.
Oh, yeah, I sort of like that name.
So you get to can make any person just disappear from the vote. Yeah. It's not a vote steal. It's not necessarily a vote cancel. You could use it on yourself. This is to be played before people vote, Alex?
Correct.
Okay. In Jessica's instance, it would not help her necessarily after the 5-5 tie has come out. But Steven, I will say that I do like this. I think it's fun. And who knows how the players would use it?
I got to say, this was a real good one. This is like a fun one that's like an interesting game mechanic. That's not too corny, not too powerful. I haven't heard it before. This is great. I love it.
Really get people's minds racing in terms of if they found out somebody had it. Houdini idol.
You have to. Yeah. You're going to Samoa.
Okay. You're going to Samoa.
All right.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. All right. All right. Now we're cooking.
All right. Now we're cooking with gas.
All right. I think that is all the idols, but we do have other kinds of advantages here. So,
all right.
Okay.
Vic Shuttie pitches the Gauntlet.
Gauntlet.
Steven, I know you're a challenge fan, so you may appreciate this. A shiny golden chalice known as the Gauntlet is hidden post merge.
No, I'm out on golden chalices, medallions, you know,
hidden
anything.
It's found like an idol and played right after the holder is voted out. After tribal, the eliminated player is then taken by pros to an elaborate individual challenge, something so difficult they very likely might not be able to complete it. But if they can, they re-enter the game at the next immunity challenge. It's basically an itemized redemption island.
Okay. Do you like a redemption island idol?
Nope.
No. Okay. There's
you're
nothing
voted out.
Here.
You're voted out. Redemption Island, I've never liked. I mean, I guess in Survivor 27, Redemption Island was pretty fun, but I still don't like the concept of it. Yeah. I don't like the concept. Yeah.
I've still maintained that I'd be okay with Redemption Island pre-merge in any season, especially with All-Stars. I feel like that I'm okay with it. But I feel like that once we get post merge, I would say do away with it. But,
especially on Too Shy. Is that when you really want it?
Yes. That's when I need it. Yeah. So that I could lose the following week and then, maybe get some, you know, paid for an extra episode. Yeah. So, I don't love the idea. I feel like you sort of like either bake this into the theme or, I mean, this is, the Justin OTT twist. Right, of you get to play, an individual challenge by yourself.
Oh, so this is actually Big Brother. Oh, no.
No, see, out.
Well, now that you told him it was a Big Brother, Elaine.
Yeah, well, he was already out. He was already not into it. Okay. All right, so that's
you're not
no.
into this, are you? You don't like this one.
No, I don't love it. No.
All right, Here's one from Jonathan Clark, and he calls it the jealousy advantage.
Ooh.
Allows the owner to steal the immunity necklace from the challenge winner. The holder should alert Jeff his or her intention to steal after Jeff puts the necklace on the winner's neck. Then Jeff has to take it away and represent it to the stealer.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
You like it a lot. This is not the reward steal. This is the immunity steal. Steven, if we're in a season where we have one of these great moments where, okay, we're down to the final seven, the alliance of six is going to go after the immunity winner. The holder of this then says, you know what? Pagonging back on.
Screw you, Mike Holloway.
Yeah. Screw you, Mike Holloway. Doesn't that defeat the purpose of
immunity challenges?
Yeah.
But every one of these things defeats the purpose of something, you know, like doesn't a vote steal defeat the purpose if everyone gets a vote at tribal council? Mm-hmm. I mean, what I think I like about this, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can convince me that I don't like it, is that it's something that you're playing and it's inherently going to create animosity. And I think that's good. You know, if you save yourself an immunity idol, no one's going to resent you for doing that. But if you steal someone else's thing, someone is going to be pissed.
Let me see if I can build on this. What if instead of stealing a person's immunity, what if it's an advantage that you could play to, instead of give somebody an advantage in the challenge, you could put somebody in a disadvantage in any individual immunity challenge. So basically you're playing an idol on them or playing the disadvantage. Just like, you know, that we have these people win things at the auction where, okay, Cochran, you're going to start at this position.
And those are always kind of crappy because like they it's like usually like an overpowered advantage.
Right. So this is a thing that you could play on any person at any time where they are at a disadvantage to start any challenge, reward, or immunity.
Yeah.
A poison advantage. And
it's great. The poison something. It's great because, then that person still could win their way out of it. But they might not be able to. I like that.
It'd be a real good FU moment. Like, you know, okay, Mike Holloway, you've been winning all these challenges. We're going to put the disadvantage on you, the hex on you.
Hex.
And then he still wins the challenge. And then he's like, hey, screw you, everybody.
Yeah. He'd have to give like 250,000% to win that challenge.
Yeah. Here you go, Joey Amazing. Steven is going to put this on you.
Yeah, that's why I like it. That's why I was just thinking of playing it on Joe.
Yes. And then Joey Amazing still wins the challenge.
Yeah, he still would win. That's
it
true.
Passes out and everybody's like, oh my God.
He's even more amazing than
Swoon.
I thought.
Yes.
That's what's cool. It gives him an idea. It gives that person an opportunity to really succeed. But it also, you know, I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Send that through.
Yeah. And I think it also is in that final act where, you know, that one person everybody's trying to vote out, you take their immunity at tribal council and it's like, oh, now they're really screwed. So you sort of know the outcome of the vote where at least this is a chance to, you know, and then you're gonna have people who are petty and just using it on people that they hate. And so I like the hex idol.
I like it too.
Okay. Put that through. All right. Now we're going to probably get two in a row. You're going to Samoa.
Building, I knew this was here. where we were going to thrive.
Yeah.
Warming up.
This is really,
All right. Here's one from Michael O'Rear, Buried Treasure. And we got multiple different pitches of variations called Buried Treasure. So that does seem to be a popular concept. But basically his idea is just bury like $500 out there. If found, you can use it to bribe contestants. You can use it in the auction later on. You can take it home. You can use that money as in-game currency, basically.
Okay.
Right, here's the problem with that, and that is it's bad. They no longer really do the auction, and I don't think anyone's going to make a choice for $500 when $500 is probably less than the difference, you know, between two places. And if it was like $10,000, maybe, but I don't even think, you know, I don't like it. I think it's gimmicky.
Yeah, it's a little gimmicky. I mean, it's definitely not enough money. In Survivor of the Amazon, I walked out of that auction with like $240 cash. Yeah. And I can't think of anything in the game that I would have said like, all right, Butch, here's $200. Here's what I need right now.
Did you get new shocks for your car?
No, and actually that money got burnt in the fire in the Amazon. That was the moment that I came back. I was on the reward with Matthew and I came back and Jenna and Heidi were like, there was a fire in the camper. And I said, what about my $240?
Oh my God. That could have been like an extra cheeseburger, Rob.
Yeah. Well, because all you do on Survivor is think about food. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to buy so many things at the airport. I'm going to go to McDonald's. Yes. I'm going to go to the... Yeah. So I guess in that sense, that cash in hand is worth something. But
do you think that cheeseburger was the difference between you winning that final three immunity challenge?
What not?
Probably was.
What probably that was. I ate at a barbecue or that I didn't get to buy a cheeseburger at McDonald's?
Bought one more thing at the auction. That might have been the difference.
Yeah, that probably would have been it. I think so. I think you cracked the case, Steven. That being said, no, it would have to be for even more money. And I don't know. I think people probably are just too focused on it. Again, it's not like Big Brother, where I think that like a buried treasure of food, I think with like the mason jars of like dried fruit would be more valuable than $500.
Which it was. And that was interesting, right? Like Will's food treasure chest was like a really fun, interesting advantage.
Yeah, that would create more problems than $500. Also, I want to mention that we're going to take your questions and comments on this show. Whether you have them now or at the end, hashtag RHAP, Scott St. Pierre is standing by to collect your thoughts as we get towards the end of this. Okay.
It's not hashtag MSGAOA?
Not yet. Maybe that's the hashtag for the whole episode. Oh. Okay. All right. Any other idol/advantages?
Yeah, a couple more. And this one I really, really like. This one's from Georgia Toff. And this is either, Steven's going to either like this or it's going to put him in a very unsafe space. He's going to get like flashbacks here.
Trigger.
Oh, yeah. God.
She calls it the surrogate advantage. Oh. It comes in the form of a whistle, and it allows the holder to have a surrogate complete a challenge for them. To use it, the holder needs to blow their whistle before the start of the challenge, at which point Jeff calls in the chopper, and a legendary individual challenge competitor like Joe or Ozzy pops out, fully prepared to step in and complete the challenge on the whistleblower's behalf.
That's actually fun. I mean, it's so corny, but it's like corny in the way that Survivor kind of likes.
They do love their helicopter, you know, bring in moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's funnier if they suck. It's like I refer to this all the time.
Here he is. He won four challenges in his season. John Cochran is going to come out fourth.
Or like you get Ozzy and it's like, and it's a puzzle, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the risk you're taking when you blow the whistle.
Mm-hmm. I think that what Survivor really likes is, you know, when somebody who is an underdog, like a Cochran, like a David, goes on and then perseveres in winning a challenge, or when somebody who's great at challenges wins a challenge. They also like that quite a bit. I just can't see, like, if you had like David in, you know, with this advantage, and David blows a whistle and Ozzy comes in and plays a challenge for him and wins immunity for him. I feel like
pretty unsatisfying. There's no drama there.
There's no drama. It's confusing for the show. And I feel like that it is, I'm not feeling this one. I'm sorry.
But the casual audience does respond to Joey Amazing and Ozzy. We can't deny that.
Sure. And we'll see how they respond, you know. But Steven, I feel like that this is not something that is making Survivor better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think so. No, we're going to say Noah to the whistle. The surrogate idol.
Fair enough. All right. There's one more I want to pitch you guys, and it's basically a suggestion for fixing the Tyler Perry idol.
Okay.
This is from Ryan. What do you think about the following fix for the Tyler Perry idol? The player that has it has to play it after the votes are cast, but before they're read like a regular idol, but they don't have to announce who it's played on until the votes are read. It's still much more powerful than a regular idol, but it provides more opportunities for decision-making than a Tyler Perry idol.
Okay. So we're at tribal council, Steven, and we are putting all the vote. Who's getting voted out?
You are.
Oh, okay. So somebody plays the Tyler Perry idol that we don't know who's getting voted out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because they play before the votes are cast.
The idea is it like makes someone like Tony, like if his paranoia was getting the best of him, he can't wait till he knows for sure. He has to make the move and then declare after.
And it gives the people who are voting against him the chance to change their votes, basically.
Okay. So, but no, they've already the votes are already cast, correct?
No, I thought it was
before. Oh, yes. After they're cast, but before they're
read. Votes are in the urn. They haven't been counted. He has to play it. And then what happens as the person who...
Wait, that's every idol.
Yes. Yeah. So he has to play it at that time. So it's basically you're moving up, you're keeping the power of the Tyler Perry idol, but you're moving back the time in which it gets played.
But I'm sorry, isn't that like the normal idol? That's right. Literally what the normal idol is.
But the Tyler Perry idol is, I guess that's not as powerful.
So you're an idol that you play after the votes are cast, but before they're read is a normal idol.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair point.
Is there something else okay. We're missing there?
All right. Well, why don't we move it? So we'll say Noah to this.
We love idols.
We almost put through Yo Dog. I heard you like idols in Think Tank too. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to ideas for twists. These are not idols, but these are other things that change up the game. And not okay. Season themes.
I got one from, I think, from Think Tank One.
Yes.
That Jeff Pittman pitched to us.
The great Jeff Pittman.
I think it was Jeff. At the final, so on day 39, you know, one of the things we were trying to like work against is this like final three, someone's getting no votes. They're clogging up the freaking thing. At day 39, you know, the finalists know if it's a final two or a final three. The final three people, they have their delicious breakfast. They go to the final tribal council before the tribal council is read. Twist immunity challenge at the final three, right there, day 39. They're shocked. Whoever loses is going right over to the jury bench. They're just walking across the aisle.
So you like this idea?
I don't know. I'm just proposing it.
Yeah. I think that the whole reason we have a final three is so we aren't losing our close but no cigar person before we get to the final two. Right. So, like, I think that the reason why they started doing it is coming out of Panama, you know, they really wanted Terry Dietz to be in the finale. And so Terry Dietz goes out at third place. So we end up in a situation where it works out really well where you have Ozzy and Yule in the final three with Becky. So if you have that final three breakfast and Terry still gets voted out at breakfast, I think that defeats the purpose of them having the final three.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's one more. All right. Here's another idea that we also, you can lose your vote at tribal council for food.
Okay. Yes. Survivor hamburger, correct? Okay. So
I've got something similar to that.
Yeah. So we talked about that. Well, you want to read your idea?
Sure.
Okay.
So the idea that I have that's kind of like that is from Jack May, and it's called Bankable Votes. Every time you go to tribal, you have the option to either vote or bank and save it for use at a later tribal.
It's not the same.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So let's touch on that next, because I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, Steven, this is where we've talked about people have the you want to eat or compete. At the challenge we were talking about, you can either eat or have a vote. You want to do it at tribal council?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you think do it earlier? Like you
lose
your vote?
Does that make it more interesting to do it later or at the challenge?
I think later than you're.
I think at the challenge, you're going to piss people off.
Right.
At tribal council, sort of the die is cast a little bit more.
I'm just thinking, like, from a production perspective, it's harder to, like, oh, and he can't vote and he can't vote. But if they're sitting over in the corner with their cheeseburgers, you know, that's hard to, easier to track.
Easier to track if it's a tribal council. I think it's easier to track if it happens during the day.
Okay. Anyway, it's a fine idea.
Yeah. So we still like that one, Survivor Cheeseburger.
It's nice. It's a good one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about bankable votes.
Okay.
All right. So read this one, Alex.
Sure. So every time you go to tribal, you have the option to either vote or bank and save it for use at a later tribal. It could create scenarios with closer votes since people will want to use as few as necessary in each tribal. And it could also create dissension within an alliance based on who gets to keep or has to use. You'd also have post-merge scenarios where people aren't completely sure who has how many votes. So I think maybe from a TV perspective, a bit dicey, but certainly from a gameplay perspective.
So, Steven, this is a little like Kong's Dilemma, no?
Oh, yeah.
So,
a little genius shout out for those of you who have watched The Genius.
Okay, so in this scenario, we have this season where we have bankable votes. So, but Steven goes to the urn and he writes a name in the urn, but instead of the urn, there's like another box behind the urn. and he puts his vote in there for another day. And then when we count the votes, Jeff says, okay, instead of, you know, there were seven people voted, but there's only six votes. And then we have a little bit of a mystery as to who didn't cast a vote, who saved their vote for another day.
Wait, so, but you don't have, well, do you have to write it? You have, if you write a name on it, does that mean you have to vote that person, that same person later?
No, but well, maybe you could just like fake with the pen. Or you write bank.
It's on, like a bounce check.
Yeah, how about that? You write bank on the parchment or something like pass, and you put it in a different slot that's right behind there, and people can't see if you did it or not.
Or you put it in the urn, and Jeff reads your pass. But I guess that the handwriting could give you away there.
Yeah, that could give you that could
Colby style.
Yeah. So Steven, I think this is interesting. I do think it gets a little bit complicated, but I think it creates, as I like to do, a lot of fireworks back at camp of who didn't vote.
See, I think this is too convoluted. I mean, I like the idea of it, but I think it's too convoluted to track. In the next episode, you're going to be like, you know, so-and-so has four votes. So-and-so has two votes. Then some tribal council, you're going to have 15 votes read. I mean, I think you're not going to know who's going to be able to track who's who. I like the idea. I agree with you, Alex. I think it's a really fun idea from like a gameplay perspective. I just think like from a show perspective, it's a... You know, it's hard enough to keep track of who's
this,
got
Steven,
what advantage.
What about that Jeff announces that there's going to be one round of voting? Maybe it's even a double episode where we have one round of voting where this twist is happening.
So anyone could bank their one vote.
In one round of voting, yeah. And maybe it's a situation where there's a pagonging going on, or I don't know necessarily what the situation would dictate. But is there any reason why we could have this like at one tribal council?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Be interesting. I don't know necessarily if anything comes from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something to try. I mean, it's one of those like, yeah, sure, I would be into it if I saw it.
Let's see what happens.
I wouldn't like if I had my, you know, elevator ride with Jeff, I wouldn't necessarily throw this one out.
Okay, we'll put it at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Not to backtrack, but Amy Howard reached out to me and reminded me that the difference with the Tyler Perry idol is that you would have to play it, but you don't have to declare who you played it for until after the votes are read. So that is kind of watering it down, and it is different.
I see. So it's still more powerful because you could switch it to the person, whoever it is.
But it's
I don't
spent.
Like that. Actually,
you just don't
you
have to announce who it's
your
spent
entire
on.
Alliance with that. Yeah. Basically. I don't like the Tyler Perry idol. I mean, I don't think we should like find ways to save it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. I think it sort of like creates a little bit less drama to do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here's from Scott Green. I mentioned this during the voicemail podcast with Rob last year, so I submit it for your approval.
Okay.
Imagine the survivors arrive at what they think is an individual reward challenge shortly after the merge. A feast is set up. So are individual stalls enough for one per person that can't be seen into from the feast area? Probst says, today's an optional challenge. If you choose to play, you'll compete for a secret advantage in the game. You'll compete in individual stalls, so nobody will know who won, except the winner. If you choose not to compete, you instead enjoy some of the food over there. The result is an advantage goes into the game to be won in a challenge, but the players won't know who won it. They'll only know who could have won it. They'll all see which, like, five contestants have opted to compete, and even if they lose, everyone will assume they may have won. So in second chances, people would have known Spencer and Steven played for the advantage, but both could plausibly deny having it. Creates tension, changes tribal dynamics, greatly reduces the target on the person with the advantage.
Okay, so this is like...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
This is like eat or compete meets the roadkill.
What's the roadkill?
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay, so Steven, do you like this idea?
I don't, because I think what's fun about the advantage is when people know who has it. And I think that's kind of something we've been saying throughout this podcast, is the idea that like whoever's got the advantage, like the target on them, like that creates drama. You know, it's like the advantage becomes more, you know, it's not necessarily just a good thing. I don't like taking that target away.
But it does create the drama. It's just that there is a pool of potential suspects that could have the advantage.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, what's powerful about, you know, I've got this cool thing, but everyone knows I have it. Do I have to play it? Do I not have to play it? Am I going to get voted out the same tribal council I play it? Versus that's compelling drama versus like, we don't know. Could be him. Could be one of these five people. Hard to say. Why that inherently lessens it. Like, why do something that takes good drama that we have and lessens that good drama?
Mm-hmm. you're right. I mean, we are making a good point that we're saying that we like when people know people have things, but this at least is allowing people to have things and not have as much fear that it's going to be a target on them.
The fear is good. The fear is good TV.
Okay. The fear is good. I think it's fine if we tried this for one season.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm probably higher on it than you are.
If you present this to Jeff in the elevator,
no, I wouldn't. But I wouldn't be at the top of my list. It wouldn't be at the top of the list of things to tell Jeff in the elevator.
I want, like, you know, not Steven.
Jeff's in a rush. He's like, boom, boom, boom. Hey, like, I got places to go.
That's my concern. You're gonna forget to say this isn't Steven's idea. Steven's not into this. You're gonna forget.
Okay. All right. We'll put it at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Brian.
Maybe just off the list entirely.
Okay.
This one's from Brian Gelbach, and I don't know if this is a twist so much, just more of a stylistic adaptation, but since you guys have now seen the first season of The Genius, would you like to see the editors adopt their editing style with some flash-forwards, flashbacks, misleading the audience, etc., kind of like the Jeremy vote in San Juan or not showing Amanda finding the idol in Micronesia?
Steven?
We talk about this a lot, actually, on The Genius podcast, how it's a really fun editing technique and one that I actually don't think would work for Survivor. I think it's really fun. What The Genius does, for those who haven't, you know, for you, those few fools who haven't listened and to our podcast.
Not a spoiler, by the way.
Not a spoiler. Is that throughout the show, the way they're editing, they will hide what's happening. So at the end of the episode, it'll be like, boom, this person did this and you didn't even see it. And it's like, oh my God, everything I thought that was real is false. And I actually, you know, one thing I kind of said throughout our podcast is like, that really captures what it's like to be a contestant, where you've like got your plan and I'm in my plan and I'm making my deals, and then boom, out of left field comes this other plan. Like, I had no idea that was there. But I just think Survivor is so based on, you know, everyone kind of having all the information, and I think it might take away. I don't know. I mean, I would think it was cool. What do you think, Rob?
I think that there might be a moment or two where it would work, but I feel like to completely change the editing style of the show, like Amanda has the idol where we didn't know she had the idol, or you don't know if Gary Hogaboom has the idol or not, if he found it or not. I'm okay with that, but I don't want to, like, 50 minutes into the show, have like a totally different, you know, viewpoint on, you know, what happened earlier that day.
Yeah. And they'll do like flashbacks that kind of, like, you know, in The Genius. And I agree that it, like, a one-off is good. And the Amanda thing is a great example of that, but not necessarily for the whole show.
Yeah. It's just not Survivor.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Keep going.
Here's an idea from Jason Weatherholtz. And this one kind of reminds me a little bit of how Jessica found the Legacy Advantage. It's a first episode drama builder idea. After initial introductions, Jeff announces he wants to give everyone an island warming gift. And there are 18 little gift boxes on a table. He asks the players to come grab one and open them in private. 15 players open gifts to find small bags of beans, mason jars of dried fruit, etc., like little Taylor specials, I guess. The last three players only get one lonely piece of fruit, but one of those players also has a hidden immunity idol in their box. The players who got the crummy gifts will be questioned because they had to have gotten something better than one piece of fruit. And even the player who got the idol will probably assume that the other people who got one piece of fruit also got an idol.
Steven?
You go on this one.
It's so much business to do in the first episode, where I think that we always have so much drama going on in the first episode. I feel like that what we need are more things along the way. I feel like that we're not really at a loss of day one drama. You're building a shelter. People are going off and looking for the idol on their own. And I know we've done things with the, you know, share the lie type twist, but I don't know neutral if we necessarily box. Need, yeah, neutral box, 18 people opening a present on the first day also.
Yeah. What's good about the neutral box is that it's like two people, right? Like the challenge with the early episodes is like, how do you distinguish who these people are? How do you introduce them? With the neutral box thing, it's like, here's two people. We can focus on them. You can learn a little about these two people. Then they go back to the tribe and you've got those other people. But I think this, I agree with Rob that this is just adds sort of like production chaos.
What if we did it at the merge? What if instead of the merge feast, Steven, which is usually kind of a boring thing, where we have...
They're not even really showing it, right? Didn't they like not even really show it this last season?
Okay, this merge feast is some people open a box and it's like, oh, it's a huge hero sandwich. And other people open the box and it's, you know, something more modest. And then other people open the box and it's a banana. And somebody has a box that has like maybe an apple, but also the hidden immunity idol.
I actually kind of think that's fun because then, I mean, the merch feast should be a celebratory moment. And also you do need food. So I think it would really suck to like get like an apple for your merch feast. But I mean, maybe that's good.
Yeah. I do think that Survivor is probably trying to keep the players more nourished now. Yeah. So maybe that might be at odds with that. But I feel like I'd rather see something like this used, around the merge as opposed to on day one.
What about the summit? Meet in the middle.
Meet at the middle and have a summit with a Yankee swap. I like the Yankee. I do love the Yankee swap, Steven.
I love the Yankee swap.
What is the Yankee swap?
Okay, that's if you've ever been to a holiday party or in your office or something like that, where you have like, everybody got everybody's a gift. And it's like, okay, I got Alex an Xbox. Here you go, Alex. And then you open a gift and you can either keep what you have.
Oh, yeah. Why after this white elephant?
White elephant. Sure. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how does that work in Survivor?
It could be in place of an auction.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe all the boxes have different sizes and wrappings.
Yeah. What about this white elephant auction or whatever, where instead of the food items are there laid out, but there's also an advantage there. And so what are people going to do? Are they going to take the advantage or take the food?
I think that could be really fun. I think they're well rid of the auction. I mean, I don't need to see the auction anymore, but that actually could be a fun way to
save
it.
That's different than the auction.
I kind of like that, Rob, actually, because they've been looking for, the problem with the auction was that it became so it wasn't fun anymore. Like it started off as this really fun thing and they're like, oh, let's complicate it with a twist. And then it just became boring where you had like 10 people like waiting to bid all their money on the one thing.
But Steven, it's not just the advantage where I'm dying for this plate of nachos I've been talking about this whole time.
Right.
Now you've got the ham sandwich in your hand and you're like, well,
but can you not eat? Can you not eat? That means you can't eat your cheeseburger until everyone's gone.
Right. You have to wait until the Yankee swap is done and then everybody gets to sit down. Or you've got like, you open the box and you've got like the uncooked rice and it's like, boy, I really wanted nachos. I'm sorry, Rob, I'm giving you the bowl of rice and I'm going to eat your nachos. I'm so mad at you then after that. You didn't even take my advantage. Yeah. You like took my food away from me and you were in my alliance. You a-hole.
Yeah. But then you're just like sitting there with your food.
Yeah, you wait until everybody, you can't eat until the Yankee swap is done.
Just like, and your food is getting cold?
Steven, you care about, what is this? You're going to leave
this
a bad Yelp review?
This is how the show is made, Rob. They got to worry about food temperature.
Because that Survivor pizza is always piping hot, right?
Ugh. Right. Then, I was going to take your pizza, but it's been sitting there for 10 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll take,
the ice cream melts.
Right. Fine. Then you can't have a hot fudge sundae, maybe.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay.
I like it. I actually do like this. I think it's a fun idea. I would send that to Samoa.
Yeah. I would say instead, in place of the auction, we have the Yankee swap auction. I think this, I put this on, I'd tell Jeff about this in the elevator. You're going to the elevator,
white
Samoa.
White elephant.
Yes.
Swap.
I like it.
All right. Here are two that are kind of similar in that they both kind of, stem from the same general idea. So I guess should I give them both to you and you can kind of, side with the one you like better and discuss that one?
Sure.
Okay.
We don't know what they are, so it's hard for us to make that judgment.
Okay. So this first one's from Jonathan. He has two tweaks to the rules. One, you can now vote for yourself. Two, if the vote is unanimous, that person becomes immune and everyone has to revote. The other one is from Striegel, and the idea is that you're allowed to vote for yourself, and if you successfully do it three times without going home, you receive an idol. So both are based off the idea of being able to vote for yourself, but two different directions.
All right, let's talk about the first one. I think there's more
kind of fun there. Yeah, if you knew that everyone was voting for you. I mean, the problem is then it creates like a Holloway situation, right? Where like then he's basically invincible. Although I guess if people knew the rules, they would.
Then you got to split the vote. Then you got to split the vote and put a vote on somebody else.
And then someone hits you, and then the person in your alliance.
Wow. Okay.
Right.
So
then the other person in your alliance is like, why you got to split on me? I like this. I like this. There's something here.
Okay. So a new rule where that instead of everybody putting the vote on one person, you end up in more situations where, that, and like in Survivor One World, you had the moment where I think that Troyzan is in there and they're talking about like there was like they needed to split the votes, I think, against Troyzan. And they told Christina Cha that, you know, we have to split the votes on Troyzan and you just in case Troyzan plays an idol. We can't let it right. be one of us.
It's crazy.
She's like, oh, OK, that's cool. So I think that's interesting that you I mean, it's an interesting wrinkle that might create more drama.
The only, I mean, the counter argument is it's like a confusing rule that actually probably won't pay off that much. It's like unlikely that it will really ever happen.
Yeah, it's a little thing, but it might be fun.
Oh, I see. I mean, I like it as a little thing that might be fun. My dislike of it is like now you've got to explain a new rule to the audience, but it's probably not going to pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it might be fun. I don't see the harm in having it.
You're literally not hearing the thing I'm saying over and over again, are you?
It'll be hard to say to the audience.
Yeah. You don't think that's true?
Well, when has that stopped us before?
No, yeah. I agree. I think it might be confusing to say to the audience. It may never come up in five seasons where it matters, but I don't see the harm in having it.
But isn't it? It's kind of like the like why they got rid of like your old votes are cast against you. It's just like a weird thing to like, oh, but if he casts, then he's immune. So you don't think it's a problem. All right. I'll side with you on this one.
Yeah. I think that you have one person that has a confessional that, or, you know, Jeff announces a new rule this season. You have one person that have a confessional that says, you know, we're all voting for Steven tonight. But the problem is now with this new rule, if Steven votes for himself, he becomes immune because he has unanimous votes against him. It's like tactical Yanori. Yeah,
that's right. If you get a double. Terrible. Oh my Back God. Though. That was a good. Yeah. Backed out. Right. It's just like everyone knows the person who gets the most votes goes home, but then it's suddenly like, oh, there's this other thing I got to worry about. Like, I don't know. I'm with you though. Like if no one else sees it as a problem, to me, it seems like a weird thing to try to explain.
Yeah. I think if you're saying that maybe the juice might not be worth the squeeze of that, it gets too complicated. I don't think it's one of the, you know, top five baby things that we've talked about here.
You
tonight.
Did sell it to me as tactical yet Nori though. So as with that context, I'm kind of into it.
Okay. So you're into it. I think you hate tactical yet Nori.
No, I do. I don't love tactical. I mean, I actually think I do like tactical yet Nori more than you like tactical yet Nori.
I think that's probably fair to say. So, okay. So that I think this is kind of harmless. You know, I don't know how much it would really move the needle.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep going.
Keep going. This is from Xavier Lawler.
All right.
I know Survivor Gabon probably scared producers off allowing contestants to shape their own tribes.
Oh, boy.
But I've got a spin on it that could cause a lot of drama. Two captains are selected, either through challenge or random draw. Jeff then reveals they've added a twist to the regular pick'em. Each captain will select someone to join the opposing group, basically indicating they don't want them. That person will then be responsible for the next pick. This could create instant grudges and memorable confessionals as all the athletes are picked last for the first time in their lives, while others are outed as undesirable. Could be used at either the start of the game or the first tribe swap. Pretty fun, right?
I actually do think that's pretty fun.
Yeah. I like it more as a tribe swap than to start a season because I think that we're never going to just have some sort of a season that's going to be starting off with a draft of people.
Jillian ruined it.
I do think, I mean, yeah, Gabon really screwed that up.
But I just think that with all of these new player seasons, I think that the theme is going to be so embedded from a marketing standpoint. Right. But I do like it for a swap idea where you're ending up sending the people you don't like to the other tribe. And then you could really get some animosity going.
I'm surprised we didn't get any theme ideas for new player seasons. We only got theme ideas for returning player seasons.
Yeah.
The one with the recruits versus casuals versus super duper fans. But.
Yeah. Dude, how quickly you forget Steven.
I've got a ridiculous one for you if you want it that has two returning players.
No, all right, what I is don't it? Want what do you
yeah,
got?
Okay,
real
okay,
quick,
okay.
Real right. quick.
From Nicholas R., he calls it Survivor Undercover Butch. You get Keith Nail and Butch Lockley to each captain of tribe. Keith and Butch cannot be voted out until the merge, and tribes can swap their Butch for Keith before any challenge as long as both tribes agree. Every time Keith gets told a plan and then says stick to the plan, Butch must add 10 sticks to his tribe's shelter. If any shelter receives more than 50 sticks, Butch then lights the camp on fire and blames Matt. There is also a legacy advantage, and on day 36, the holder opens it and gets Jason Siska's effing stick.
Steven?
I liked it until it got complicated with the stick and the mat. I think the Butch Keith thing makes a lot of sense. I think it would, it's just something that the game's been missing.
I just really love the name Undercover Butch. That really just got me.
Yeah. I lost it when the idea of like, you can switch your Butch for a Keith.
Yeah, that's funny. Steven, but going back to the idea of Undercover Butch that I've talked about for years of, if you just put Butch Lockley back in a random season of Survivor and didn't tell anybody and that was a twist, would the players be able to figure it out? Do you think that there's any player that you could stick in that's a returning former player? And you have people who were like basically kids who are, you know, 20 years old or, you know, 22 years old when they played the first time. I'm not talking about myself, who are now like grown ass men,
40s. Yeah.
Or, you know, that I mean, you have people who've played the game in the first 10 seasons who are unrecognizable.
John Padlock.
Yeah. And you put them back in a season, nobody would know that they've played again. They don't have to say they're not. Jeff's not going to announce them. Could you have an undercover returning player?
It's a fun idea, or is it? Or is it like, it's like, I'm always, you know, every think tank. I think the thing that unites my perspective from think tank to think tank is that I want to find a season that Brian Corydon will work in. Mm-hmm. And
he hasn't aged. That's the problem.
That is the problem. But like, I'm all about bringing back players who we, you know, from the distant past, from the pre-merge of some random season. You don't like that.
If you took Dolly and put her in a new season, okay?
Dolly looks different, by the way. I've seen pictures.
Who would
of Dolly.
Know?
Dolly, no,
who would know? Would, like, that's Dolly?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Even if you knew it, you wouldn't believe it. You'd be like, come on, that's not true. Yeah.
So find a couple of somebody like that and bring them back. Are you in or out on this idea? I think it would be fun.
I think it would be kind of funny too, actually. And I don't think it would take that much away. It would just be like a random fun thing.
Yeah, I think it would be good. All right.
What would be funny is if the Survivor player kept insisting to the cameras that she was a former Survivor and even they didn't believe her.
Yeah, they had like be lower thirded as alleged returning Survivor.
Contestant.
Okay. All right. Couple more. Steven's got to eat soon.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I've gotten through, I think, a lot of the meat here. I think we've got a couple that are fun, but nothing that's really too tangible.
Okay. Scott, let us know if we have anything great that was suggested on Twitter. Okay.
Oh, we got to have a quick Q&A from the people.
Yeah. We need some Q&A and reactions as well.
I mean, since we did just talk about Undercover Survivor, I will throw this out there. Robert P calls it Survivor Undercover Plastic Surgery. I call it Survivor John Dillinger. His idea is to send Boston Rob and Parvati through irreversible plastic surgery to change their physical appearance and then send them back out there unrecognizable.
I don't like it. They're both too beautiful. We can't do that to the world.
Can't do that.
Yeah. What about we did some sort of like a face-off where Parvati is Boston Rob and Boston Rob is Parvati?
That's brilliant.
And we don't tell John Fincher.
Wow.
Nick Cage would love it.
Do you think that? I think Fincher would be into that. He's such a sort of super fan. He'd like love it if his wife had looked like Boston Rob.
Steven, I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we did not publicly say Mazel Tov to John Fincher and Parvati on their engagement.
I actually only just found out. I haven't privately said Mazel Tov, so this is embarrassing. But Mazel Tov.
Yes.
John Fincher is a
proposer. Yeah. I have to give credit to someone. I don't remember who said that, but that came across
really
my Twitter.
That's really good, whoever said that.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, so you want to jump into some of these things that Scott has pulled? Why don't we start with the first one, Stephen. What does Lugaroo have to say?
Lugaroo, how about a Survivor season where every idol is fake? See how long it takes the players to figure it out. That's an interesting twist on the fake idol idea. I think we probably will not like this.
Okay, so the people find the idols and they are given messaging that the idols are all fake this season, or you find an idol and it's like, oh my God, this is huge. I found the idol. And then you go play it. And Jeff says, I'm sorry, this is a fake idol. And like, I think people are just going to lose their, you know what, at tribal council. Like, what do you mean this was a fake idol? I found it. It had a note.
The other thing is, like, I think we like it when idols are played and people are saved, you know, like if it's an idol is played correctly, that's like a fun thing to happen.
Yeah. Okay. So you can't have a season where all the idols are fake. Up is down, down
fun,
is up.
It's a fun idea and it's a fun riff. So well done.
Okay.
Right. You want to do Anthony S?
All right. Anthony S, Celebrity Survivor, Survivor OTT. All celebrities, Steven, I think that you can't have people out there who don't know the game. I think that what has worked in Survivor is that we have brought celebrities into the mix at the same time that we have continued the regular game going on. So we brought a Lisa Welchel, we brought a Jeff Kent, we brought a Cliff Robinson along the way. But at the same time, we've continued to have actual players playing the game around them. I think if you had a season that was all celebrities, I think it would be unrecognizable to us from a gameplay perspective. And I also think that much like the Celebrity Apprentice, you cross a bridge that you cannot uncross.
That's the bigger concern is that it's like you just go down a certain path of like absurdity.
Yes. And you cannot come back to have a season of all regular players. It happened with The Mole, happened with The Apprentice. I don't want to see it happen to Survivor.
Yeah, and as for Survivor OTT, we did get a pitch from John Reed that was kind of along those lines in the idea of like a 22 contestant season where the first 11 out go compete in like an online losers bracket, which, I mean, OTT was this online iteration of Big Brother. So that's, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't know. You know, it's kind of similar with Survivor and live feeds. Like, how is this working?
Yeah. If you ever did a Celebrity Survivor, I mean, I could see some sort of a version, Stephen, of like what, like a 10-day type thing that would be like sort of like a sweeps week, like, you know, maybe you air it every night or something like that. Some sort of like a summer special or something like that.
I don't like it.
Yeah. It's a bell you cannot unring.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
All right. The Almighty Duck says Survivor loved versus loathed, the most beloved by fans versus the most despised by fans. I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah, it's basically heroes versus villains, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, is it time for another heroes versus villains? I mean, we did a second brain versus beauty versus brawn.
I would love another. I think heroes versus villains 2 is going to be good.
I mean, should it be season 40? Should season 40 be heroes versus villains 2, or do we have to wait grab it sooner?
No, I mean, if 31 was an all-star season, 34 is an all-star season, we may want to just take a breather. 40 is good.
Okay. I am totally up for season 40 being Heroes versus Villains 2. And let's just call it Heroes versus Villains 2. We don't need to, you know, come up with the, you know, blue collar, white collar, no collar version of Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I completely agree.
Angels.
Although I also think Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn All-Star would be good.
Right. So only people from those two seasons?
No. All-Star season with that.
I think firefighter Joel and like every big person who's ever played.
Gordon Holmes and I had already cast that idea for a season in a podcast back in 2014. Yeah. I think that's a great idea for an All-Star season.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way in. Okay.
All right. Kristen Morse wants to know, extension on Surrogate Idol, blow whistle to make someone in the game play the challenge for you, losing their own opportunity to win. What do you think of that?
Boy, I mean, could you, what prevents that person from throwing the challenge for you where it's like, you know, hey, I don't want Steven to win immunity. So let me blow the whistle. Steven, you're playing for me. And of course you're not going to try to win. Even if like you had like a David and Ken situation where David was in trouble, Ken is like, I need to win the challenge for you. I think it makes it less interesting as to there would be some drama as to whether or not Ken would give David the necklace if he won. So no, I don't think that we're saving the surrogate idol.
Yeah. And I mean, I like your twist of having, you know, someone be able to give a challenge disadvantage to, you know, I think that's more fun than the surrogate idol.
Also, I think the surrogate idol needs a better name. I think it's not to nitpick it. Surrogate idol is, not tremendous branding.
All right. What's the next one?
Okay, Steven. Zave Law says, what about a return ticket found like the legacy? If you're voted out pre-merge, you go to the other tribe, turn up at the next challenge shock. I mean, this is a little bit of the Nick Iadanza thing that we talked about. So this is this an idol or this is just at a tribal council? It's a return ticket. It's so you find it. If you get voted out pre-merge, you just go to the other tribe when you get voted out.
I liked it as it was done, you know, with Nick. I mean, I think that, I think when we actually did discuss it on the last Think Tank, our idea was like, this is something for producers to have in their back pockets. If they get a medevac or, they need to extend time, but keep the drama going, that it could be a fun thing to do. I don't necessarily love it as like a ticket that someone has. I like the idea of it as like a built into the game. I mean, I don't even love it that way,
we liked it in Survivor Australia.
It was good. It was good in Survivor Australia.
Yeah. So I think that it could be something that they do again, if they are sort of like, okay, we don't have enough tribal councils for days. I think it could be something to do if they have some sort of like a really bad start to a season where they are losing people left and right. Okay. What about Parasocial Dude?
Parasocial Dude wants to know, why is it inherently harder constructing strong themes than viable twists?
First off, do you agree with the statement?
I do agree with that statement.
Okay. It's harder to come up with themes than viable twists. Yeah, I think that for the most part, we as big fans of the show don't love themes seasons just in general.
Themes, just they have to be so big. They have to be so broad. They're so overarching. Like you have to like fit so many people into a box, you know, and it never fits quite right. Twists. So, you know, there's all kinds of things like fun little things you can do that are kind of like one-offs and you know, that don't like mean something bigger for the season or for all the people involved in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like the twist is like a wrinkle like on your bed sheet and the theme is the bed.
Okay. Right. All right. I like that metaphor.
I think that the problem with themes is that it often reduces people to sort of like two-dimensional caricatures of themselves, as opposed to that we can sort of envision ourselves in the game with a twist, but it's hard for us to paint ourselves in a version of the game where we're just defined by one attribute.
And, you know, you also, the other frustrating thing about twists or about themes is always the way that they try so hard. It's like that conversation about, you know, texting between generations, like, oh my God, you know, like stop trying to make the theme happen.
Okay. Steven, what about Riley?
Riley Nichols wants to know, how about a night zero-ish twist where all the players are merged together and then they are split into two tribes on night two? We talked about a little bit about this, the no tribe.
Fiji-esque.
I would say Palau-esque even.
Yeah, Palau-esque is really the, Fiji too, though, Fiji too.
You know, it's interesting that we did not get any ideas about the tribes all living on one beach once again, the one world-esque ideas. I feel like that we probably must have gotten a lot of that the first two times out. Steven, are you more open or less open to that idea of either Survivor, no merge, or everybody together on one beach? We've had larger merges since then. Do you feel like that's working or not working?
I think what Survivor's doing really well now is using these little like advantages and idols and like twists so that they don't need to have these like big kind of corny themes, or like, you know, you don't need to have everyone start on a beach when you have all these other like little fun things peppered in. And I think they're doing a much better job casting. So I feel like I don't need to see any more of that, you know, like, what if everyone starts on a beach and then you merge into, you know, and then, you know, they're all living by themselves. But I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
Okay. I've said that I have liked the idea for one world. I think that men versus women ended up being too polarizing in terms of it really divided the two groups against one another back in one world. So I'm certainly open to it. The thing that the direction that Survivor has seemed to have been going in certainly this past season, and then in the season that you went back and played on, is the idea of two, then three. We went this season from 3-1. You guys went back to two. Do you like this idea, Steven, of what we're doing now? Do you want to see more of that?
Oh, yeah. Now, you need the different swaps, creating all these different loyalties. That's really where the heart of the show is. I think that's kind of what's helped save the show. And you know, we were seeing again and again these pagongings happening. And suddenly like they came up with three tribes into two, into three, into two, into one. And I think it's really, really been a big part of why the show is so is on such a roll right now.
Okay.
We did get a few ideas that were one world esque, but really pretty much all of them boiled down to similar stuff you guys talked about with AJ Mass and Jeff Pittman actually on Think Tank One.
Okay. All right.
What about an anti-idol? John Johnston is saying, I like an idol canceler where a person can use it to cancel an idol play.
Okay. So somebody gets the idol out and then we have an antidote to the idol. I mean, doesn't that defeat the purpose of there being idols in the game when we're canceling idols also?
Yeah. The idol is such a specific thing. It's so situational. And if you do manage to play it right, it's like really exciting. Just completely saps it if someone's got the anti-idol. And plus the anti-idol is like, you know, what makes the idol difficult is that you have to play it at the perfect time for you or for whomever in your alliance in just the right way. And the anti-idol is kind of like, well, I can hold on to this whenever and whenever, like, you know, it hurts me, you know, then I play it. And it's more reactive in that way. I don't love that.
What if, like, you didn't play it at the moment to cancel the idol, but you had to play it in advance and you could take an idol if you guessed correctly who had one?
But then, I don't know, because then I don't know. I don't know. An idol steal tool, if you knew. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little too tricky.
Mario
a little too
Party.
Complicated. Yeah. So, all right, let's do the last one or two things. Sean McCavity wants to say, idea time bomb idol. Idol detonates an undisclosed time, causing negative consequences for the whole. Now, I don't know what it means by detonates. It means like you have to play it at a specific tribal council, whether you want to or not.
Or it's got like a blowback effect. I think Eric Stein and you talked about that. He called it the monkey's paw idol.
Yes.
And
what is that?
It's the same kind of thing. It's just like the longer you wait to play it, the more of a negative repercussion will come, I think.
Like, give me an example.
I don't have an example for you.
Okay.
See, I'm like reading that differently.
A vote will be against you going into the next tribal, maybe.
Yeah, like. I'm reading that as like if you hold it, not that like it accrues, but that there's like a deadline on it, and if you haven't played it by the deadline, and then that bad thing happens. Mm. Again, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Things that force people to play the idol. I like it.
We'd have to like really specify what the mechanic is there.
Katie Beth Austin wants to know, did Alex bring his own mic?
No, we have extra mics here.
Yeah, Rob's a professional.
This is a professional podcasting studio. We have microphones.
But
and cables.
I'm prepared with backups because I'm also a professional.
Yes.
There you go. I am an amateur.
Okay. Joe Brochacho wants to know, one, find fake idol. Two, if you can convince someone to use the idol at the next tribal council, you are automatically immune. It's a little Big Brother UK for me. Of a mission, Steven.
It's a little overcomplicated. I feel like there's like an inherent human nature in all human activities to fiddle. I feel like that's what we as humans like to do, is to like fiddle with things. We like, oh, and that's like, you know, that's what basically what Congress does, right? They just fiddle. They're like, oh, let's add some more fiddling.
Let's not get political, Steven.
Yeah, it was neither party, you know, yeah. Everybody. It's just human nature. Any job, like people fiddle. And I think that's what that kind of had to me was like, we got this cool thing. What if we fiddle with it? Make it this way.
Yeah. Which is kind of like what we're doing with Survivor.
Yeah, we're fiddling. Yeah. But,
well, it's always easier to tweak than to break down and rebuild. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. So it's like people, you know, you change your furniture around because you're getting tired of it. We're fiddlers at heart.
We're fiddlers. Steven, any other thoughts you want to add to this?
No, this was fun. This was fun. I actually, this was fun. We got to have the highlights though. We got to have the recap.
Okay. Give us the best of the best, Alex.
Okay. Well, here are the ones you guys sent through to Samoa. You got your fans versus favorites versus celebs season.
Yeah.
You got your fans versus favorites versus fans. You talked about.
I believe we called it super fan, super duper fans.
Oh, my mistake. I don't like that term. So I think I'm
with you, Alex.
Yeah, I think I just blocked that out of my mind.
Yeah, well, we wanted to be specific.
Yeah. Well, all right. You've got the last voted out season. The season that the Kelly Wentworth season you talked about. The friendship.
No, I believe there's a theme name for that, which is Too Shy Shy.
Too Shy Shy.
Yeah, my mistake.
Sure. Not reinventing the wheel with that. People have talked about that one. We can't take a lot of credit for that.
You've got the friendship idol, which must be played on another player.
Mm-hmm.
And
like
can't
that.
Be transferred.
Yeah.
The radioactive idol you guys talked about, which will expire at a point. Steven, I like that. The radioactive title there.
Yeah, I like that.
Rob talked about the Houdini idol, this idol that was pitched that sends someone, like banishes someone from tribal instantly and they don't get the vote. This kind of poison advantage you guys talked about, where it's going to hinder someone in the immunity challenge when you play it on them.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the
hex idol.
Yeah. You've got the, you talked about maybe more doable as like a round instead of the entire game, but the idea of the bankable votes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Yankee swap auction was discussed.
Okay.
And finally, this
Yankee swap auction is good. I take back my slight hesitation on that.
Oh, good.
Okay.
And finally, this idea of being able to vote for yourself, but if all the votes come your way, you're suddenly immune.
All right, Steven, we have our meeting with Jeff Probst tomorrow. What are we leading with here?
I like the friend idol. I like the nuclear idol. I think, you know, fans versus faves versus celebs is going to be a winner.
That's pretty good.
Killer.
Jeff's going to like that too. He'll be like, come on, Neil Patrick Harris, your friend.
Yeah. No, he's going to really eat that one up. So I think that's probably a winner. I like the Yankee swap auction. I feel like that might be.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That might be the best of what we got. You know, I think that really what it comes down to is that Survivor is already fantastic. We have come up with ideas and we have used our power of the bully pulpit here to say, let's not make any drastic changes. Let's find fantastic, interesting people and play, as Zeke said, the world's greatest game, Stephen.
I love that. I love that. That's what it all comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And I think, you know, I think Survivor's in such a great place right now, you know, with how they're casting, with the way they're experimenting with the show. It's on a high, and you know, this is just gilding the lily. This is just frosting the already frosted cake.
Yes. Yeah.
the frosting.
All right. And I think also, hopefully,
we're not getting Frosty back on one of these seasons.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I just sent a Too Shy cast list. It's incredible. It's a great cast.
People are on top of their game.
Strong cast.
You got Maddie Whitmore.
Yes. What we've done here also, and not just by what we've put through, but also hopefully that we have helped give our input by what we have not put through as well, where we've said, no, that's too far. We're not going to like that. Hopefully those ideas and those thoughts have been put out into the universe as well.
Aaron? I'm sorry. Yes, I agree with you. Yeah.
Steven, what is the hashtag tonight?
Oh, God, there's so many. I mean, we have, as you know, I hate this part of the show the most.
Yes, yes.
There is MGSAOA. There is Too Shy. What are some other?
Frosty.
Yeah, that's it. It should be Frosting the Frosty. That's what it is.
Yes, Alex. Anything else?
I got nothing for you. I've given you everything I have.
Okay. No, I mean a hashtag.
I know what you mean.
Yes,
Alex. Okay. This was great. Thank you so much. You've done an incredible job of sifting through a lot of questions.
Why? Thank you, sir.
Or suggestions. Sorry.
All right, Stephen, what's that? I don't want to do Too Shy because I feel like the people are going to be looking at it like, oh, yeah, Rob just wanted to be that.
No, Frosting the Frosty.
Frosting the Frosty. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen. Well, this was a very fun exercise. I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this as much as Stephen and I enjoyed going through all of
these. This was really fun.
The second one that I had listened to, the Think Tank 2, was really, really a fun re-listen. If anybody hasn't checked that out, that was really great as well.
Yeah, the Think Tank 2 is really good. Again, like Think Tank 1, if you really want to be a Think Tank completionist like that, you know, go ahead.
Check
guys,
it out.
You guys got Matt Quinlan on that thing. Come on now.
Yeah, the rooster. Yes. Matt, I didn't realize, I mean, listening back to that, I forgot how involved Matt was in the Survivor community after the show.
You know, Steven, that you and I have been doing this for quite some time.
It's unbelievable, Rob.
We've seen many people burn white hot supernova.
Yeah.
And then go be a ship passing in the night.
Whenever some new thing starts, I'm like, yeah, okay. You talk to me in 8 years, you know, yes. we'll see. Yeah.
Yes. That's, you know, always a warning sign when one of these survivors comes into like, okay, I'm all about it. And then, you know, like then 6 months later, where are they?
They've moved on in their lives. They haven't stayed in the same place for 8 years.
As disturbed as we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amateurs.
All right. Let me give a ton of credit to Alex Kidwell, who took a lot of abuse tonight from Stephen and I, as he was the one who had to sit through 362 ideas. Most of them were probably very long, right?
It was a labor of love. Right?
Labor of love.
Wow.
So a lot of kudos to this guy right here. Fantastic work, Alex.
Thanks, buddy.
Yes.
Great job. Really great job. This was great.
He's going to Samoa.
If only.
Yes.
Who's paying for that trip?
I don't know. That's a good question. All right. So great job to him. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre, who brought in your questions, got all this set up, going to edit this thing for you guys to listen to. So I want to make sure that his contributions do not go unnoticed. So thanks so much to Scott. And thanks so much to Stephen Fishback, who is always much fun at these things.
No, Rob. As I said, you know, I read online that you don't like me.
Come on. You can't believe everything you read. It's fake news, Stephen.
This was really fun. Thanks a lot, Rob. It's, as always, a great experience. And okay. You know, can't wait for Think Tank 4.
Think Tank 4 is coming. I don't know when we should do it again, but we will figure that out. Let's see. I mean, maybe Survivor is going to be on autopilot from here on out after this.
Maybe. They're going in the right direction, so it's okay to be on autopilot.
When the time is right, you will know.
Yes, then we'll know. Yeah, all right, fantastic work. We've got so much coming up here on the podcast. Of course, I have my first of my off-season podcast series. David Wright was here yesterday.
Oh,
we went
fun.
Through everything. Really fun podcast great. Dropping for you guys tomorrow evening. So be on the lookout for that. Also, my interview with Adam Klein will soon be coming up as well on the podcast. So be on the lookout for that.
Those are both good ones. I can't wait for those.
Be very fun to go through
listen.
It all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
If you haven't checked it out, Stephen and I did a full viewing of The Genius Season 1. You can check that out anytime. All of the links to the YouTube videos are there at geniuskia.com. Stephen, what else have you been doing in the off season?
I've just been, you know, staring at my computer waiting for you to call.
Okay, well, here I am.
Yeah.
Lots of fun stuff. And of course, thanks so much to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast who make all of this off-season and regular season nonsense possible. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron of Rob as a Podcast, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter at Stephen Fishback. I'm at Rob Cisternino. Yes? That's it? Alex is at Alex Kidwell. We will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.